become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Eternal battle for the domination of the world begins. Random target selection, the United States. Value $42,000. Play. Red pain level at 50%. Danger level. Repeat. Danger level.
Solo. I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Be excused.
You done there?
I'm going out.
Where are you going?
Just McDonald's.
Back at 9:30.
Okay.
You just ate. You didn't finish. Going to McDonald's instead of finishing here.
He's his friend, sir.
It's okay.
It's okay, McDonald's. What do you think they do there? They don't drink milkshakes, I assure you.
It's okay, Dad.
Hey, hey, hey!
All right.
Hey,
Trace,
how you
doing?
Oh,
my God.
Girl,
I
got a sunken tub.
You
got to see it.
Oh, I got to see this.
Right.
You
have a good time, man.
Have fun. Have fun.
Dude, I am sorry we're late, man.
It happens, man.
And she talk about how we're supposed to be in the car at 6:45. I'm like, all right.
Uh-oh.
Tell me my dumb ass ain't sitting in the car waiting until 7:15.
Uh-uh.
Okay, when I track my wife down 20 minutes later, she's sniffing out the damn shower talking about, can I help you?
See, that's crazy right there.
Craig, I looked this woman in the eye. I said, bitch, you told me 6:45.
Huh? You said that?
Yeah, I said, bitch. Then I laid it out.
But you said bitch, though.
Hmm?
You said bitch.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy, dust is crazy. Crazy makeup, or just look just like you. Jamming all the first, first one plan, but you're wrong.
Good, you've made it. Now everybody's accounted for. Here's the plan. We'll be taking off at 0100 hours.
What about the American?
A truck will drive by here at exactly midnight. You will jump on the back and be driven onto the border.
But wait a minute. Nick is the only one who knows the inside of that prison.
Well, Monsieur Rivers, it seems that you have become, how do you say, indispensable?
Indispensable.
Yeah! Woohoo! Yes! Oh my God! We have sound! Woohoo! Ah! Oh! Hello! Hey everyone! Yes, it's time for Entertainment Landfill. I am the Daystrom on a rare Saturday show, but I was like starting to think this show is doomed. Because it's so crazy. You don't know. Everything is perfect. It's fine. I go to unmute my microphone. No mic power at all. Nothing. Just absolutely nothing. Never had that problem before. Never hit unmute. And then there's been nothing. It was just nothing. Flatline. Just nothing worked. I didn't understand. There was a ghost in the machine. And by the way, I am the Jaystrom, and we are here talking film, television, and pop culture. And I felt a little helpless. I didn't know what to do.
I was worried.
I'm also here with...
We just recorded the part two of the Star Wars on Thursday, so what could have changed?
Absolutely nothing. No
settings. I think someone came in and started messing with
things.
Well,
here's how it started working. You said, go check and see if your mic is muted. All I did was open the sound card settings and the mic settings.
Yeah.
All I did was double click on mic to look at the settings, and all of a sudden I could hear mic again.
Right.
And I was like, wait,
yeah.
It's working. It's working. No, I still have no clue what happened. But
I blame Foggy.
It was after the reboot.
Yeah. Maybe rebooting helped. I don't know. But I am the Jaystrom. This here is Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hello.
Hello, Steven, to my left. You know, it's... Before I've said to my virtual left, or no, to my virtual right, Bill, I've said that before. I was recently listening to another podcast and someone said to my virtual right and I went, that's my bit, or whatever.
What the hell's wrong with people
They're
stealing things and not giving credit?
But
tired of it.
Bill, I haven't introduced you yet. No one knows who you are.
I have no idea who I am.
This is Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hey,
well, that's
hello.
Me.
Really?
Hello, Bill. The only audio thing that changed in any way is I installed Audacity, but that doesn't affect microphones.
The Audacity?
Yeah, the Audacity.
That program.
I have no idea. Let's just go past
blame
that.
Blame it on Audacity.
Let's blame it all on Foggy. So,
Foggy's an asshole anyway. I didn't just say that, did I?
Watch out.
It's okay.
I know. Foggy's going to shiv me when I least expect it.
Yeah, don't forget you're coming back to town. He could easily get a hold of you.
What's that got to do with me?
I'm going to have to put the double lock on my hotel room door.
But guys, hey, I know this is a Saturday show, a rare Saturday show, and I'm glad we're here to do a show. I know, Bill, we couldn't do a show yesterday because you went to a concert, right?
I did. I went to a fantastic concert. DC Talk, no. yeah. I
kept
like
joking
that
Bill
was
like, going...
son of a bitch. DC Talk, how dare he?
And I kept going, hey, Bill, what Christian rock concert are you going to?
Striper.
Yeah, but that
wasn't... No, my sisters, two of my sisters, and... one of my sister's domestic partners. I guess they're just boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't want to call them boyfriend, girlfriend because they've been together for so
couple.
Long. Yeah, they're a couple. I went to Pittsburgh.
Why can't you say her boyfriend?
Her boyfriend. Well, he's more than just a boyfriend. He's a father figure to her daughter. And
he's
you
a
know.
Boyfriend.
Yes, he's a boy. Okay, he's a boyfriend. Semantics. we went to the Daniel and the Lion, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Counting Crows show, and it was fantastic. I was really kind of blown away by Toad the Wet Sprocket and Counting Crows. because they sounded studio quality. Like, I'd never seen either of them live before. It was my first time. Been a fan since the early 90s, late 80s for Toad the Wet Sprocket. And it was just a really fantastic show. I had a great time. There was some really interesting things going on. There were a couple fights. There was a fight right at the front center of the stage between an old guy and a young kid during Omaha, a folk song. And Adam Durrett stopped everything. And he's like, guys, you can't fight during a folk song. What is wrong with you? Like, I mean, it just stopped everything cold. And we were so embarrassed. We were like, oh, my God, Pittsburgh, I'm ashamed of you. And then, of course, there was an older couple that almost had full-on penetrative sex next to us. Like, they were, like, gyrating, and it was just so uncomfortable and hilarious, we could not stop laughing. Yeah.
You needed a bucket of water?
Yeah, we really did. And we were looking at, they didn't even know, I don't know why they were there, because they didn't know any of the bands. They were just gyrating and dancing, and it was a fantastic show. Everything was great. There was one girl that passed out from either low blood sugar, drunk, or, heat exhaustion right in front of us.
Was it
pretty hot? I mean, it was really eventful.
Was it warm out there?
It was, oh my God, it was so humid. It was insane. It had rained earlier in the day, and it was probably in the high 80s. So it was a swamp.
In Texas, you see that a lot at concerts, some people passing out or people being taken away, you know?
Yeah, this girl, she just kind of bumped into me, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, little thing. And, then she walked into the back of one of my sisters, and my sister's like, who is walking on me? And she turns around, and this girl, and then the girl is like, oh, and she's like slurring her speech. And then she careens off to the right and runs into a guy. Beer goes everywhere. And then she just falls. And me, my sister that's a nurse, and the boyfriend rush over, and we're like, are you okay? What's going on? Like, and luckily there was a paramedic right there, and he picked her up and rushed her to the first aid station. But that was like the moment we get there, like, wow, that just put a damper on things.
Weird.
But yeah, it was a great concert. It was hectic as hell because this venue, Stage AE, is right next to PNC Park, and there was a pirate game going on at the same time. So it was really hectic, but it was a great show. It was, you know, I felt like an asshole because I go to these shows and there's moments like where I'm like, oh, I love this song. Let me record it. And then you realize everyone's recording it and you feel like a complete dick that you're watching a concert through your phone.
Well, at least you didn't. Did you see anybody with the iPad? That's always the worst.
I did.
People holding up iPads.
Well, yeah. It was an iPad mini or a phablet. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I remember when we went to Morrissey, the girl in front of us had the iPad, so I was like, oh, I'm just watching it on the iPad.
I can watch this on YouTube at home.
Yeah. I recorded like the last 3 minutes of Round Here because it was really cool. He went like 10 minutes and it was like almost like a beat poetry kind of thing. And I was like, I got to record some of this. And that was the only song that I really truly recorded. Other ones were just like 15-second Instagram snippets, but I only did like three or four of those. And then I finally got a beer in me, and I was like, I'm just going to be one with the music.
The only song I know by Counting Crows is the Mr. Jones song.
Yeah, I think that was their biggest single, but yeah. I think if you get into their later stuff, it's actually really good. Like, Recovering the Satellites is really angry and kind of, that's kind of like Weezer's sophomore album, Pinkerton's a city in Ohio, is very angry and cynical. So is, the sophomore effort from Counting Crows, Recovering Satellites. But I like them. I'm not ashamed to admit that I very much like Counting Crows and Toad the Wet Sprocket. And I was impressed by the opening band, so I bought their album there. So
yeah,
I was holding
a
record
whole,
album the entire show like an idiot.
That's a cool way to discover bands when some opening band you've never heard of and you get exposed to them.
It was like the band that opened up for the Deers. I liked them when we went and saw them up in Denton. I bought their CD.
Oh, yeah. We have someone in the chat room asking what a phablet is, and I would say phablet. It's a phone tablet. It's like a larger phone. It's kind of like this Galaxy Note. You have that right, Jason?
Yeah, a phablet.
Phablet, yeah. That's a trendy reference of it, I guess. Jesus Christ, Kitty, get down.
Well, the Friday you get here, Bill, Toad the Wet Sprocket's here in town.
I know! I am so conflicted. They are there that night, and it's at the House of Blues in Dallas,
yeah.
And it would be the whole show, because they just opened for Counting Crows.
I saw them years ago open.
I'm a huge Toad the Wet Sprocket fan. In fact, I contributed to their Kickstarter to get their latest album, New Constellation, made. And I was so excited. And when I was looking at Ticketmaster, like, who's playing while I'm down there? Maybe they're, you know, I hit up a show. And then I saw that and I was like, oh, damn it. No, I can't do it. I just won't. I'm not going to go visit friends and then go, hey, I'm going to a concert.
Hey, Bill, Bill, where are you going? Going to a concert.
Sorry, I'm going to Dallas, yo.
Have fun.
Yeah. You're going to see DC Talk?
Michael
the
W.
opening
Smith?
For Carmen?
No, but you know what? I always joke about the Michael W. Smith because I actually went to a Michael W. Smith concert once, and it was with Jake.
Nice.
It was early on when I had met him at MJ Designs. He was like, hey, you want to go to a concert with me? And I was like, I'm a freaking pushover, okay?
Oh, and I was friends of friends forever.
I had met
Jesus says it's that way.
Well, yeah. I had met his family, and they're very nice people. And I had gotten to know them a little bit, and they were like, Jason, you ought to come to this concert. And I didn't know who Michael W. Smith. The worst day is he loaned me a cassette of his Go West Young Man.
Oh,
CD.
I know.
I mean, cassette, not CD. And I remember we were all laughing at it when Jake wasn't around. Like, what is he, the Joker with this outfit? He's got like a purple jacket on and we were laughing. But I'll always remember this, Bill, at this Michael W. Smith concert. You know, in between songs, he's like sitting at the piano and he's got the mic and he goes, hey, everybody. And everyone's like, woo! Yeah! Woo! You know what? We are all looking for something in this world, right? And everyone's like, woo!
Yeah, Waldo!
I think maybe we shouldn't have to go through this alone. No! We all could use maybe some friends. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh,
and he starts
gosh.
Playing the piano, and it's like, aah! It was like the gayest shit I've ever witnessed. And I'll never forget leaving the concert, walking to the parking lot in the car. You know, I was there with Jake's parents, his little brother, and his younger sister. I went with the friggin' family to a Christian rock concert.
The Christian rock concerts were big. I mean, they would bust people in. I saw Audio Adrenaline and DC Talk.
Oh, it's so lame.
Oh, I think that was the worst thing about Christian music in the late 80s, early 90s, was it was awful. Like,
oh, yeah,
really,
it's not
really
awful.
Awful.
Now.
Well, you know what? I think the exception to the rule is Jars of Clay, because they're a very progressive group that don't, in fact, the lead singer just got in a lot of trouble because on Twitter he said, what's wrong with two people that love one another, want to share, in a life together and get married? And people just freaked out, like, oh, you've been corrupted by Satan. You know, it just, so it's, they're kind of the more progressive types. And I still really like, Jars of Clay. I mean, that's one group that has stuck with me through, my childhood.
Well,
in
why
the
can't
fun
they just
church.
Be music? Why, or do they label themselves Christian rock?
No, they are just music.
Okay.
They are good enough that you can interpret it however you want.
Well, I didn't get to finish saying is that.
Sorry.
Jake's dad goes, that Michael W. Smith, he sure is a great rock and roller. And I was just like, oh my God.
Did he dress like Kip Dynamite, the dad?
He sure is a good old rock and roller there.
Uncle Snazzy up there on stage.
And I don't even talk to Jake or his family anymore, but I hope they're all doing well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The family
nice.
Went and they enjoyed a concert together.
Yeah, I didn't pay for anything. They paid my way.
Oh, I also went to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert whenever he had this album called
The
Great Adventure.
I have no idea who that is. No idea. I have no idea who even Jars of Clay are, but I know we've talked about them before.
They're good. I like them.
Yeah, Jars of Clay had one radio hit that
I know.
Do
you remember that Flood? That was their huge radio hit.
I don't know. I'd have to
hear it. They play it at the end of Hard Rain, the Christian Slater, Morgan Freeman movie.
Oh, sweet. That's an awesome movie. John Lewis type movie.
Hey, Ed Asner's stealing money from the bank. Stop him.
Yeah, that movie was kind of screwed from the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, there it is.
Let me see if I've heard of this.
Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days.
Don't recognize it?
No.
My world is a flood.
Yep, that was the big hit. Come,
the one with the
mud. They suck.
Son of a bitch.
I'm kidding.
No, that's actually, I'm not a big fan of their first album. It's their subsequent albums where they kind of grew up and were like, you know what, we don't have to be obvious about our biblical references.
Yeah, I'd rather them not reference the Bible, and then I'll check that out. Maybe like a TV show or something.
Yeah,
like that.
They have a really good album. I think it's, I want to say it's called Monsters, and then there's another one.
I want them to do an album where they reference that TV show, The Bible.
Yeah, yes. I prefer to see my biblical miniseries is on the big screen, though. I like that
true.
Shit repurposed and slammed up there for money.
Well, Bill, we kind of like just glossed over it, but we should mention that, I mean, it won't affect the show unless we do a show while you're here, but you're visiting at the very end of July, first week of August.
Yes, 31st through the 5th, thanks to Steven. He saved my bacon.
No trouble.
Now, Steven,
I am so appreciative. He got my hotel room. He got my flight.
That's awesome. Steven, you,
hey,
sir,
they cost me a thing.
Awesome.
Wait,
yeah,
$5.
I mean,
that's
bucks
right.
For the flight, yeah. And
that
he got me a great
cool.
Hotel room, Best Western Plus.
Yeah, he just has to pay for his own check bag.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just got a brand new bag carry-on because they changed the size requirements, and I've been testing what I can fit in there because I really don't want to check anything. I didn't check anything last time.
I think the main thing we planned is we're definitely going back to Tornado Terry's when you come
yes.
here.
Yes. And we're seeing Guardians of the Galaxy.
We're going to see Guardians of the Galaxy. Hopefully in Atmos. If
hopefully,
possible.
Yeah.
If not, oh well. Maybe
and,
we'll like it enough to see.
We haven't really
once.
Planned anything else. We definitely got to make another stop at Doc's Records.
Yeah, yeah. We should definitely record a show this time because
we
will last time. Mainly because this is when you come to visit and we're you know you feel like we got to go somewhere. It's like why would we just sit still and record a show?
I think the best time other than Tornado Terry's that you and I had while I was down there was watching, just sitting at your house, watching the finale of, the King of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Because we were doing what we do. We just, I never get to watch things with you. We watch them separately and then talk about them, where it's just so much fun to sit there and actually watch what we talk about together.
Yeah, totally cool. We need to do more of that. I wanted to talk about also that, you know, we mentioned briefly I don't know if we did mention that you and I recorded a Star Wars show.
Yes.
We recorded the Sale of Star Wars Part 2. It's all about all the Star Wars speculation and rumors, but also the facts that we now know. And it's a nice pairing with the show we did last year where we didn't know anything.
Yeah, this is the special edition.
Yeah, we didn't even have a director. We just talked about potential directors. And it's pretty cool to listen to that and hear us talk about, like, what would J.J. Abrams be like? Or what would Rian Johnson, who just did Looper, be like? It's really cool to kind of like...
Or I wonder why they're not bringing Lawrence Kasdan into it.
Yeah, so a lot of things, like, I listened back to it, and I'm like, whoa, prophets, man.
We are. We're pop culture prophets.
Yeah, so listen to those. I'm going to release those two together. Our patrons, Bill, have already heard it, and people who paid for the holiday pack last year have already heard that Star Wars show, so they'll be ready to listen to part two as soon as it comes out. But I also wanted to say hello to all of our patrons. It's nice to be loved, isn't it? I feel
really
loved.
It really is. It's awesome. You know how energizing it is to look at that and see that there's, what, 31 people now?
Yeah.
That are patrons of the show, that are supporters, that, you know, it makes me excited to do a show because it's like you care. You really, really care.
It was nice to see Rick Lidster become a patron.
Yes.
And then Marvin become a patron. Marvin S. I don't remember his last name.
I couldn't pronounce his last name.
No, but we're not saying last names anyway, so that's fine,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah,
don't
there's Ricks.
Yeah,
whoops.
Rick. Yeah, but everyone knows the Rick.
Yeah. I hope it's okay.
Yeah, and it's funny, the alias of Sam Lowry, we know that's not his real name.
I know, that was shocking.
Yeah, I know, I like that. That's a good idea, though. In certain situations, you should have an alias on Facebook, not your actual personality.
Yeah, it makes
so
sense.
It's just, but he mentions like how we hate on the Clone Wars in that first Star Wars show. And
yeah.
In this new one, part two, we talk about the extreme love we have for it now.
Yeah, if you think that we don't admit we're wrong, we do on this show.
So wrong.
We admit when we're wrong. Oh, and another thing, Bill, I just wanted to mention this. This is a pure digression, but I'm still in pain. When I laid down on the floor to look behind the computer to make sure nothing came loose, I got a hamstring cramp.
A hammy.
Oh, my God. It feels like a blade is sinking into your leg. And I was just like, oh, shit, shit, shit. And I was
did you tell Steven, come on, rub my leg.
I was standing on my tippy toes like, oh.
He came over to sit down. He's like, I can't even sit down. I'll do it standing up.
You can't sit down too soon because then it'll grip on there again. It's just like,
That post-surgery, one of the things that, you know, I can't really tolerate sugar well. So if I go a little too overboard with the sugar, like I have like a handful of candy or something, and my body goes into that dumping mode where it just starts, it starts sucking moisture away from everything.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 minutes later, both legs will seize up.
Oh shit.
The most excruciating pain ever. And especially like if I do it before bed and I'm laying in bed and then all of a sudden it's like, like I just, that's one of the reasons like I should avoid that stuff because it's pure hell to have both of your legs in like the hamstring and the cramp.
Oh, damn.
And the,
yeah, I can handle both of them.
Yeah, both of them, it's debilitating because it you can feel it all the way in your diaphragm. Yeah, it's like, I'll never eat Skittles again.
When I was like in pain in that, Steven was like, and just pointing at me.
You dumb bastard.
He's like, ah, ha, ha, you're in pain. Ah, ha, ha, funny.
He's not going to die, so it's funny.
No, but guys, anyone who hasn't become a patron yet, I don't want to say, what are you waiting for? I am wondering
that. What are
you waiting
for?
But it's okay.
You just said it.
If we haven't convinced you yet, we're going to keep trying to convince you this summer. So keep on listening. We release 7 shows in June. Okay?
Just wait for the show coming up where we record it from a Mexican restaurant, and I cannot understand the waitress.
I've had your visit in MP3 form since you visited, naturally. But
yeah.
I've meant to release it. I've gone and listened to it, tried to figure out how to put it into a show. And the only thing I can think of is listening back to it together and talking about what we're about to listen to and then play it for the audience. That's otherwise it doesn't make any sense. You know?
You need context, but we were at that restaurant. What did she ask me for? It was an option in the meal and I just said yes. And she was staring at me like, huh?
I can't remember. I definitely
did you want the refried beans or the regular pinto beans or something?
Yeah.
Just something stupid like that.
Yes.
Guacamole or sour cream?
Yes.
Yes.
It's kind of like I'll always remember a lady going super salad, and I go, yes.
Yes,
like,
I will
Jason,
take the super salad.
Super salad, Jason.
I want one with a cape on it, please.
Yeah. Super salad sounds
big,
delicious.
Giant. That must have like both types of olives.
Dun, dun, dun. Whoa, look at this.
Yeah,
it looks so healthy.
I'd never felt more like a hayseed when I was – because I was telling you, I was just like, I honestly – did not understand her. It's a foreign language to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what me and Jason had to translate.
Yeah, you did. You literally, I look at Steven. Steven's sitting to my right, and I would look at Steven to see what she said, and he'd be like, go ahead.
Yeah,
do it.
Get the beans. The refried beans, right?
The refried beans are the best.
All right, Bill. Well, we have one voicemail. It's from Adam Sexton. And let's go ahead and play it.
Sex tons.
Adam, by the way, an awesome patron. Let's check
awesome patron.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton. Just dropping off a voicemail, saying hello, and wishing you good luck on tonight's episode. No more Lethal Weapon movie mini feedback. I think I've exhausted myself on anything more to add, but consider that a testament on how much ground you covered during that program. So, again, hats off to you for a really great show. I finally saw the Veronica Mars film earlier this week, and it was 2 hours of happiness. I would like to see some sequels to that, but if that movie was the last word on the character, I'd be happy with that. I mean, talk about coming full circle. I haven't seen anything recent, but I plan to see Edge of Tomorrow Sunday afternoon. Anything else might have to wait until July the 4th weekend. I am looking forward to the upcoming part 2 of your Star Wars discussion, and I hope we reach that first milestone eventually so we can hear those commentaries. I need a reason to revisit those films. At this point, I've seen them so many times that they're ingrained in my memory like Beatles songs. Like I don't really have to put a disc in the Blu-ray player to watch them. Anyway, continued good luck with your Patreon account. I hope you get some more patrons and that our current contributions will help in any way. I will see you in the chat room, and I hope everyone has a nice weekend. See you later.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, the first week of Patreon was awesome. Second week, pretty good. Third week, kind of sad, but it's slowly but surely, right, guys?
It'll pick up again.
Yeah, it'll pick up again. And like this show will be coming out, that Star Wars show. Keep an eye out. I'm going to finally release the Jaws movie mini that Steven and I did.
Yes, and we've been talking to a certain individual about the show that they are going to choose for us to watch, and we are... Are we debating on The Strain and Penny Dreadful, or have we settled on The Strain?
I think we settled on The Strain because it's a brand new show, and we could all just start watching it right from the beginning.
I think that's a good idea. I just saw a news story that they have to take down billboards of, like, a worm crawling out of someone's eye because people are upset about them.
Well, it is gross.
it is grody. I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that, like, Salvador Dali film where it's the fake... eye slice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to see disturbing stuff when you're driving down the
anything
road.
With eyes and or ears. I remember there was a Nightmare on Elm Street that had like an ear thing with like a ear spider or something.
You brought that up so many times.
Yeah, I can't help it. That thing is lodged in my mind permanently.
I can tell it's like...
it's one of those disturbing...
It's something that disturbs you and... It sticks with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'll never be able to forget that.
Yeah. I got one of those, too. It's the pork chop and poltergeist. Yeah.
Steven has talked about that a million times on the show.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember mine? Disturbing thing? Because I can't remember right now.
No.
Well,
it was a clown under the bed in Poltergeist.
I do know this, and it isn't a childhood thing. It was an adult thing that disturbed me, and it still does, and it's so stupid. Just certain things you see disturb you, and it's so lame, but it really made me, it put a dark cloud over me, and it just haunted me for a while. And it's in the horrible movie with Nicolas Cage called A Vampire's Kiss.
If
you remember me telling you guys about this, he's hovering the little board over him, like the stake, not trying to kill himself or not, and he's not sure if he wants to, or he's kind of fighting the urge, and the guy comes along and he just pushes down on it and stabs him. That shit bothered me, like, and I don't know why, but I thought it was... Oh, and another one, and maybe it has to do with stabbings, but I hate that scene in Saving Private Ryan Adam Goldberg, where the guy drives the knife slowly into him. Oh, I can't take that shit.
That's not fun.
I don't like it.
I think I've told you my second one, I don't know if we've talked about on the show or not, was that weird doll movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name
of it. Puppet Master?
No. It's
Puppet Master.
We don't even know the name of it. Your dad thought he knew the name of it, but it was that puppet that came to life and was killing everybody.
It wasn't Magic with Anthony Hopkins?
No.
It wasn't...
It was a bad B movie.
It wasn't the Chucky films.
Well, for the longest time, I didn't know the name of it. But Guillermo del Toro did a remake of that one with Katie Holmes where the ladies in the house and the little guys live
under the
house.
Don't be afraid of the dark.
Yeah, that where they drag her down at the end.
I have that original from Warner Archive.
Yeah, the original scared the shit out of me as a kid. If you watch it now, it's, you know, it's laughable. It's still creepy, though, isn't it?
Oh, my God, yeah. But I think it's almost more creepy because it's got that kind of dated quality to it.
Yeah, yeah. About, like, old, like, the bleeding colors in a film when it's faded make it creepier, you know what I mean? That's like Dawn of the Dead has that quality, too.
Our two friends in the chat room, Adam Sexton, says... For him, it's the attempted murder of Johnny Five in Short Circuit 2.
Yes, that is disturbing.
Nice, yeah.
Very and Sam Lowry says, the thumb's being cut in The Thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of shit in The Thing that can disturb you.
Yes. The Thing in general, I think for me it was the dogs.
Yeah. Well, what about the hand paddles going into the guy's chest?
The paddling, yeah.
Oh, man.
Pretty disturbing.
Yeah. Disturbing talk. Woohoo!
Oh, and I can't forget anything Cronenberg, especially Existenz. Existenz freaked me out. The bone gun thing, like the body part gun.
I've still never seen that, but I have seen Videodrome. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
All right. Well, on that note, what do you guys say we check out Entertainment?
Okay.
Check it out.
Entertainment! And back to the short version of that song, Bill. Transformers, of course, none of us have gotten to see it. We don't have 3 hours to spare to see it yet, right?
Can you believe that shit? Isn't it just an exercise in self-indulgence at this point?
Yeah, it's basically, I think the running time is 2 hours and 30 minutes, isn't it?
That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's a Transformers movie. It should be 90 minutes.
How long was the last one? Because the last one felt really long,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think it was over at around 2.
You were asking me, you were like, are we going to go see it? And last weekend, I was like, yeah, I'll go see it. But I started thinking about it. I was like, I don't think I can sit through it.
Since I knew Bill was not going to be there last night, I was like, hey, you want to go do it? You know?
Yeah, and I thought about seeing Edge of Tomorrow, but I was like, no, I'm going to work on the Star Wars show and just kind of keep my nose to the grindstone. But the last Transformers, I remember I took Heather to see it, Bill, right?
Yeah.
And it is if it was 90 minutes, you're in and out, and it's probably no big deal. But the movies are endless, and it is a lot you're soaking up visually and a lot of racket going on. So by the time you're done, it feels like you were in a pinball machine, right? Trapped in a pinball
machine. That's a great analogy. That's very true.
You never saw it?
In the theater. I've seen it, but I haven't watched it.
I never saw the second one. But
you missed that model's butt in 3D.
Oh.
That is true. And so this film did not have Shia LaBeouf, and they now have Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, they traded down.
Oh, come on. Mark Wahlberg's definitely a bigger star.
Say
right?
Hi to your mom for me.
Nature to take its course.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I won't complain. I won't say he's a bad actor. I won't, because there are some movies that he's in that I really, really enjoy. Like,
Three Kings.
Like that one.
Three Kings.
Kings is probably the main one I like, but Jesus, if his delivery isn't just monotone, it's not good.
Honestly, Bill, it does not matter in Transformers film.
No, it doesn't, but he's apparent. You know what, I'm not going to badmouth it. Yeah, I just won't, because that seems to be the popular thing right now.
Well, yes, because the movie is excruciating to sit through, but here's what it has that in it. You know you're going to go and you're going to see some badass special effects. You're going to see some robots fighting, and that's what you're paying for. And it does have that, extremely a lot. I'm run out of things to say, but yes, Sigabuki.
I'll see it. I just know I'm going to have to take Excedrin beforehand.
Yeah, like I was saying, if they would have, that guy, I remember him telling me they were going to get Dolby Atmos for Transformers, but I didn't see any ads like now with Atmos or with Atmos. So I'm wondering if it didn't, but that was my main draw to go see it.
Oh, the one
you should
here.
Text him or, you know, if you have his number or something and ask if they got it installed.
I know it's like, how'd you get my number? But
that's a huge deal. I mean, when they install Atmos, they shut the theater down for a while because they've got to install tons of speakers in the ceiling, because that's the best part of it, is that there's all these speakers in the ceiling and things like actually climb over you, like the scene in The Hobbit with the in the spider webs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like, imagine it's probably going to take a while. Maybe he meant they were going to sometime this summer. I don't know.
I hope, but yeah. It's really impressive. And the theater I go to with it, this Marcus Cinema, they have these things called Dream Loungers, and it's these massive red leather recliners.
Nice.
And they are so plush. Like, you could fall asleep in them if the movie's boring.
You know what? One thing I forgot to mention about the IMAX theater, the chairs were really small in there.
What is with that?
It's right at the armrest. They, like, crush your, like, waist.
Hip, waist.
Yeah. And
I don't understand that.
I tried folding the armrest up, but it doesn't matter because they just crush you, like, right at your waist.
Yeah, and I've lost a significant amount of weight, and I can actually fit into those seats now without having to put the armrest up and having half my body swing over into the other seat, and they're still uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I love about XD. Those chairs are nice and big.
Yeah.
The only bad thing is we all
sat in there, and I was still probably 50, 60 pounds heavier than I am now then, and they were still roomy.
Yeah, they're nice and roomy, and it's comfortable. I just hope they get Atmos soon. I know it's silly because the sound in there sounds great now. It's just cool to have this other new thing to check out.
It's always fun. I mean, we've talked about the technology, like how I would seek out the SDDS theaters,
it's just fun. We're home theater aficionados, and all that shit is too expensive to own at home, a lot of it, you know? Like, I was just watching the home theater guy go to the CE week and talk to all the people about all these new TVs, and I'm like, oh, man, all that stuff's awesome, and these giant speakers that, you know, they're super expensive, but it's cool just to see it, you know? Yeah. I get excited just spending the day in the TV section of Best Buy or Ultimate Electronics or Fry's over and over again, you know.
I'm desperate to get a new TV for the living room. And it's like now there's something with Dolby Vision. I don't know what it is, but I want it.
What is Dolby Vision?
I don't even know. I watched the video and they don't even explain it. They're just like, you know, everybody talks about 2K, 4K, 6K, 8K. Mm-hmm. Well, Dolby Vision is, you know, I don't know. They just say it's brighter and it's better.
It's reality. Whoa. That's what Heather was like. That 4K stuff sounds neat. And I was like, really?
We have to come to your house and install something into your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one TV I'm looking at right now is the Sony, I want to say 900B or 950B, because they say that the Sony 4K sets are the best for gaming.
Nice.
So that's what I'm looking at right now. That's ideally what I want. But if something Dolby Vision comes out, I want that shit.
There's a commercial where a guy has a big 90-inch TV in a box. I don't even know what the commercial is, but I see it all the time where he's like, whoa, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always like, 90? That sounds about right. 90 sounds perfect.
90's great. I mean, when I had my projector down here in the historical library, I had that sucker doing 118 inches.
Oh, nice.
And I would just like get as close as possible, because that's just the way I am. When I go to the theater, most times I sit to the point where like I can see the whole screen, but just be able to. Like,
did that drive you nuts
row.
That we sat on the back row when we saw the Great and Powerful Oz? Do you remember that?
Yeah, but it's different in a large city. Like yours, you have a ton of people.
Yeah, but
and you don't want somebody behind you kicking your seat or talking.
Yeah, I love being on the back row. And really, the surround sound is designed now where you can sit on the back. It's perfect.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't mind there.
Your brother doesn't seem to think so.
Your brother?
When we went and saw Prometheus with my dad and Nicholas, my brother, my half-brother. It doesn't matter. I don't know why I even say that, but I just have to emphasize that Laura and Vanessa are my sisters, and then I have other siblings. It doesn't matter. From a different marriage. But anyway, but
holy
I digress.
Holy shit!
He, you know, my dad had raised us to, I don't know, sit in the middle of the theater, right? Smack dab in the middle. So when we got there, he was counting, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
and I was asking him, I was like, what is he doing? He's like, he wants to sit in the exact middle. And
he's dividing the rows?
Yeah, I go, we always sit on the back row. And he's like, oh, he's not going to do that. And I was like, are you guys really going to sit over there? Yeah, we're going to sit in the middle. And I was like, okay. So we all sat in the back. And eventually,
about 10 rows in front of us or something.
Yeah, eventually my dad came and sat next to us. I was like, are you just going to leave him there by himself? He's like, he'll be okay. He just wants to see the movie. He doesn't care if I'm sitting next to him. It was just kind of, you could become obsessive over that, you know. I try to get basically in the middle, but.
I don't anymore. But the only time, like I said, I sit close enough that the screen kind of envelops me, but.
Well, it like wrap.
Yes, like
you.
Full wrapping.
It's
I want the movie to be beamed directly into my brain.
Sweet. VR goggles.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, I just saw a review by Drew McWeeny came out, and I haven't got to read it yet, but it's of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I know.
But I could tell it's a positive review.
I'm not reading it. I shared it. I saw the headline, and that's all I needed.
I remember Rise of the Planet of the Apes. We went to see it on a whim, hoping it would be entertaining, and being surprised by how good it was.
Right.
And now this film... And it's directed by Matt Reeves, right, Bill? The guy who did Cloverfield. And
he also did the remake of Let the Right One In.
Yes.
Was that him?
Mm-hmm. What was that called again?
Let the Right One In?
Let Me In, Dude.
It's called Let Me In, Dude, I think is what the movie is called.
I'm such a sucker.
But I'm getting more excited about this as it goes on. Cool imagery and stuff. It's got Gary Oldman. It's got that dude from that one movie. It's pretty cool.
That one movie?
You know,
Clueless movie guy.
You know, that one guy. He was in that movie that came out last year.
And he said those words.
Isn't he British or something?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
Jason Clark.
Yeah, he was in that one movie with that lady tracking that Arab guy.
Well, yeah. He was in that movie where the guys who are military guys. They go and kill that one guy.
The military guys.
The redhead girl tracks them down. And
with Michael Biehn and Charlie Sheen.
No. That's a different movie, but that movie's awesome too. Oh, okay. I know what movie you're talking about, Bill. I think the same guy talks about it. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Yeah, yeah, Navy SEALs. No, I'm talking about the Catherine Bigelow movie. You know that one?
The one with Ray Fiennes. On New Year's Eve.
No, not Strange Days.
Oh.
Near Dark.
Oh, yeah, the one with Bill Paxton where he's a sergeant and the guy from Far and Away keeps repeating a time loop. And there's, like, crazy aliens. And that lady from The Devil Wears Prada is a Full Metal Bitch.
No, Bill, you're wrong.
Steven knows where I'm going with that one.
I'm talking about the movie where, okay, picture this. There's dudes, and they're, like, getting tortured and
I'm
stuff.
Sold. Dudes.
Yeah.
What dudes.
It's in it. Yeah. Jason Clark, he's a good actor. That's what I was getting at.
Wasn't he in that TV show with that guy that was in that movie with Mel Gibson where...
Yes, he was an asshole in that Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah, that asshole guy.
Yeah, and his name is Jason also.
Oh!
Jason Clark and Jason Isaacs.
Okay, that guy.
Brotherhood.
Brotherhood, yes. That's the one with Marky Mark and the other guys that, like, their mom gets killed, and then they have to, like, fight a local gang or something.
What?
Yeah.
It's like brothers or something.
Oh! Brothers, yeah.
I'm your bro, not your foe.
Yes, you're right. That's awesome. So anyway, I'm excited about that film.
I could do this for 2 hours and just entertain myself.
What do you guys say we check out What's on our TiVo?
Let's do All it.
All right, let's look.
Woohoo! I decided I made a few clips, but I'll only play this one depending on if you guys have been good or bad this week. Have you been a good person this week, Steven?
Are we being punished so if we're good?
You're being punished.
I accidentally hit a rabbit on the way home.
Or if we're bad, it's a lifting
experience. Steven was amused by my pain bill, so I think I should go ahead and play this. What do you think?
Well, he also did cover my flight and hotel, so.
Oh, you've been quite a nice person.
I kind of balanced myself out.
Well, maybe he made up for everything, actually, with
maybe
that.
Maybe I'll skip this Will Wheaton project clip.
Oh, God, please.
Have you guys been watching it?
I didn't have sci-fi this week at the hotel. So.
What about you, Bill?
No, I haven't watched anything this week. I've been a bad person.
No, this was the worst episode.
I thought the last episode was the worst episode.
It was bad, but this is like they're going like, well, that Hodor round thing was so funny. Let's come up with something else to do with Game of Thrones, even though the season's over. This is so bad and unfunny. I mean, I just don't get it.
And we're not being mean.
I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. This is like the Arsenio thing. I'm not trying to back out. I'm like, this dude gets paid to do this for a living. And it's not funny. And they have that producer, that guy, who's like has the perfect voice to do this. And they keep using him, which, you know, you would if you have an announcer guy. But it's not funny. And let me just play this for you. And it's just not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny, Steve.
It's not fun or funny.
It's not fun. It's not funny. Let's check it out.
It's only been 1 week since the finale, but millions of us already miss Game of Thrones. It's so bad, some Americans are considering picking up a book. Slow down, America. There's no need to go that far. We have a product that may be right for you.
Does your life feel like a barren wasteland? Are you overwhelmed by emptiness and longing? Are you experiencing headaches that feel like this? You may be suffering from Game of Thrones withdrawal. But now there's Gamadone, the convenient way to control your withdrawal symptoms. Symptoms like compulsive rewatching, disappointment that loved ones are not suddenly dying, leaving your house, and shooting your father with a crossbow on the toilet. Gamadone works by blocking the part of your brain that appreciates quality television, leaving you free to enjoy the Real Housewives of Orange County like a regular stupid person. Ask your doctor about Gamadone. It'll make you feel like a king. No, not that one. The other one. The other one. Gamadone. It'll make you feel like a king.
It doesn't even make sense. It's like a drug you take because you're... Miss Game of Thrones?
Is that like methadone or?
It's not even clever.
That's really kind of pathetic.
It's
actually.
Just killing time. It's bad.
I feel bad for them.
The worst one they did was the Brady Bunch one. And it was just so bad.
What I don't understand is, I mean, this is obviously associated with the Nerdist because Chris Hardwick is a producer. The Nerdist has a lot of really great comedians doing stuff for them. Pete Holmes, friends of Pete Holmes, you know, stuff like that. Are there any comedians working as writers or who's doing the writing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Will Wheaton pitched the show to Sci-Fi and he's like, here's your writers. I would go get stand-up comedians, whoever would take the job, to be my writers, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they need help. I mean, I want them to succeed. I'm not a huge Will Wheaton fan, but from what I understand, he is a nice guy, even though he kind of comes across a little douchey.
Right, but it's almost like, okay, if you were going to tell me that Sci-Fi, like, you guys don't push the envelope or go too crazy. But we've seen them kind of get a little raunchy on the show, so I don't think it's that. I just think the writing quality is terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think just bad writers.
Now, guys, I want to talk about Big Brother.
Writers.
Bill, have you watched Big Brother?
I watched the first of the two-night premiere.
Okay, well, you know, you and I have complained in the past about Big Brother, like, it's twisting, making a twist. There's twists, people. It's Big Brother. Expect the unexpected. But these new rules are so confusing, and I want to play this for you where Julie explains to everyone. The first night, eight people went in, and they elected an HOH, or, you know, they competed for one. The second night, eight more people came in. They competed for an HOH, and so there's two HOHs. So we're like, dude, what do we do? There's two of us? Well, how do we do this? Julie comes on here, Bill, and she explains to everyone about this is what it's going to be like this season. Tell me if you get it all on the first try, okay?
Okay, I'll concentrate.
Let's check this out.
Here it goes. Every week, two heads of household will be crowned. Each HOH will nominate two house guests for eviction. To be clear, when nominations are over, four of you will be in jeopardy of going home.
Well,
and in a Big Brother first, we will have a new competition called the Battle of the Block.
What?
Oh my God.
This week, Frankie, your two nominees will battle Caleb's two nominees.
To the death.
And the winning duo will not only be saved from the chopping block, but their victory will dethrone the HOH who nominated them, sending him back into the pool of regular house guests.
That's so intense.
This is the craziest twist of all BB history. This is insanity.
That means for the first time ever, you could go from being HOH to being evicted.
Oh, what?
Great.
Frankie.
Yes.
Caleb. As heads of household, you will soon be responsible for nominating two house guests each for eviction. I think it's safe to say you each have a lot to think about. Good night, house guests.
In most seasons, there's two nominees. This year, there are four, which doubles your chances of going home. It really makes me nervous just thinking about how many times I can be on the block this summer. I never saw that coming from Big Brother. Ridiculous.
This double HOH twist is so crazy that I could be nominated for the week, save myself in the battle of the block, and then the head of household that put me up is back in the mix with the rest of the house, and he's screwed for the week.
I'm HOH.
You've got
I'm
it
not
down,
safe.
Buddy.
You know, this is just freaking crazy that I could be going home. I'm telling you now, get ready, America. It is going to be one crazy summer.
Welcome to Big Brother 16!
Okay. Bill, is this twist necessary?
No, but because they are so poor at casting, they have to somehow make these people interesting.
Right.
So they're confusing them along with us.
Yes, they're confusing. The first guy we meet is Frankie, and we get to find out that he is Ariana Grande's brother, or half-brother or something.
And like I told you, I have no idea who Ariana Grande is.
And I told you, the only reason I do is because I have a daughter. Yeah, and she watches Sam and Cat on Nickelodeon.
Okay.
And Cat is Ariana Grande.
All right.
And so this guy is her brother who's a Broadway dancer. And by the way, before we even heard him speak and we just saw pictures of him, Bill, we pretty much pinpointed exactly his persuasion.
Yeah, he's the flamboyant gay.
Yes, he's very flamboyant. He seems like a nice guy. He honestly does.
I always get so annoyed with the media saturation of the flamboyant type.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a lot of friends that are not I mean, this is a rarity that the media tends to overemphasize. And it's just, it gets a little bit grating after
right.
a while.
And I think we are very, jaded over previous seasons of Big Brother also.
Correct.
Well, they got this one guy, he's got a big old long beard, Steven. He looks like he's from Duck Dynasty. His name's Donnie.
Yeehaw.
When I first saw a picture of him, I was like, oh, Jesus, what did they get this guy for? Then he comes in there and he seems like a nice guy. He's just trying to, you know, he's got these attractive young people and he's 42. That's just
yeah.
super old. My age. It's not old at all, Big Brother. Go to hell. But he's like just trying.
But he's your age with a big long gray beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he's from Duck Dynasty.
And he
but so he looks like he's 60, but he's 40.
Right.
Yeah.
He says the funniest things. He's like, when he's like, 8 more people? Damn it. I couldn't even remember the first 80 people's names. Now I got to remember 16. And I was like, I think you're including yourself in there. Like, you can't remember.
Hear me now and believe me later.
And at one point he goes, hey, I can whistle like a cricket. You guys want to hear that? And they're like, what? And he's like, he does a perfect cricket impression. And everyone's like, whoa, dude, that's amazing. And then it cuts to him in diary. He's like, you see what I'm doing? I'm totally distracting them. Just, you know,
like
I'm
cricket.
I'm playing the my talent.
I do my bird calls tomorrow.
I'm telling you, there will be a storyline this season where they give him a makeover.
Oh yeah, they shave his beard and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah, haircut, beard,
oh,
new clothes.
That's one of my favorite, like POVs they do, the Power Veto, where you have to sacrifice things. And it's like, would you shave your head? And the guy's like, yes, shaves his head. Would you shave this? There's going to be a shave a beard and what if, you know, wear a tutu for a week or wear a bunny suit. They always
a
do
banana
that.
Banana suit.
For him, they definitely need to do shave your beard. And then, you know, everyone be like, oh my God, you look so normal without that stupid ass beard. And then Bill.
But for some reason, you still sound incredibly ignorant.
There's a
is
woman.
That rude?
There's a. He's a good old boy, okay?
He is. And you know what? I respect the shit out of him because he takes care of his parents. And that takes a
right.
lot of balls.
And he
I sympathize.
To, like, you tend to judge by someone's cover when you see them. And immediately I was like, you know what? I like this guy. There's another guy, Caleb. He's like, he's from, I don't remember. He's from Kentucky or something.
Right.
He's a good old boy too, but he's like, I'm a metrosexual cowboy. And I'm like, ugh, shut
up. Wow, way to play with them labels.
But he was like, yeah, I'm pretty, you know, I got strength. You know, I ain't throwing no competitions. And he's talking to one girl in there, and she's like, so you never will throw any competitions or anything? He goes, hell no, I'm here to win everything. She's like, this guy's definitely on my radar as a huge threat in the game. It's like, you
that,
just
didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And they did a thing where, they all were on a spit, you know, where like a pig and they spin around over and over again.
Yeah.
And, that dude held on. He was being cocky. He was like letting hands go and kind of rubbing his hair and waving high. And they're like, man, that guy, he's not even tired. And they're like, man, that guy's so strong. And they're like, he's a huge threat in this game, you know. But the guy was just like having a good time. He wasn't like getting fatigued or anything. And
we do this at home for fun.
Yeah.
Has he ever watched Big Brother? That's the thing not to do. You
yeah,
have to look like a complete incompetent first.
But there's this other dick whose name is Zach and he's real cocky.
Oh, I thought his name was Dick.
The first thing he does is he meets, Frankie, who is Ariana Grande's brother. And
oh, he is?
He's like, oh, so you're like, where are you from? And he goes, I'm from New York, but I went to school in Fort Lauderdale. And he goes, what school did you go to? And he says the school, and he goes, oh, I know who people go to that school. I know what kind of person you are. And he was like, what
ouch.
Is he? And it's like, bomb, what does he mean by that? And then Frankie's like in the diary session, he's like, okay, well, he knows that school is for like lots of rich kids, but I hope he doesn't think that I'm like one of those rich kids or whatever.
Oh my God, he knows I'm Ariana Grande's brother.
Yeah, and he wants to tell people so bad because at one point he was like, I'm really bummed out, you guys. Why? What's wrong? It's my sister's birthday and I can't spend it with her. And you know, he just wants to go, she's Ariana Grande! way. And everyone's like,
that's who he is. That's who he is.
Yeah, but he can't do it because they'll think I'm a huge threat because I'm Ariana Grande's brother and I can't say anything.
Why would that make him a threat?
But that conversation that guy Zach had with him, he goes, so what do you do in Broadway? And he goes, well, I'm a dancer. And he goes, can you sing or something? Can you la la la? And he just, Frankie's looking at him. He's like, is this guy like being an asshole or what is he doing? You know, you could tell the guy was just belittling everything. But it's early on in the Big Brother house, and it's certainly entertaining because there's so many people who are
annoying.
Hooers.
But there are some likable people early on. It's when they're in the game for a while, especially with this twist where they'll go insane with paranoia. That's when they become insane. There's this one lady, Jocasta.
I know him.
She's a minister, Bill.
Oh, yes, the bow tie wearing girl.
Yeah, she's a minister, and they showed her, like, before the HOH challenge, she's like, oh, Lord, please give me the strength to win this HOH.
Okay, here's a little bit of advice. God doesn't care about Big Brother.
When she was on the thing spinning around, she goes, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. She kept saying Jesus over and over again. I was like, okay, this is going to be a little much, but.
Yeah.
All right, guys, a show returned this week that we haven't watched in a long time or covered, but I figured, why not? It's summertime. We got to cover this, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to surprise you guys. This is a special treat for you guys. Are you guys ready for this? And after this, yes, we will take a break.
Yes. Okay?
Bill, are you ready for this surprise?
I couldn't be more ready.
Okay, here you go. Get ready, guys.
Welcome to Next Great Baker.
Yeah! Oh my God. Next Great Baker, Bill.
He's still doing that show.
But this year, he tricked it up, yo. He's doing teams. He's like, you know what? I know what it's like to be the cake boss, but I can't do everything without my team. So we're doing teams this year.
We need extra slave labor at Wapakoneta.
So you have at Lackawanna.
Lackawanna.
And this year,
Chippewa.
The reward is pretty good. What happens is he's opening a new... Carlos Bakery in Las Vegas! And you get paid $100,000.
He's making way too much money. You know what's funny? Nobody buys his cakes at the grocery store. They're always in the clearance bin.
Yeah, they don't look appetizing. I want frozen cake or whatever.
Yeah, I just don't want any fondant.
So let's see who some of these contestants are as they make them something that represents their hometown. Let's check it out.
Your challenge was to make me a dessert that represents your hometown.
That's what I just said, buddy.
All right, guys. You ready to taste some desserts? You hungry? Julie and Danielle?
We're screwed. We don't have anything as fancy as everybody else.
And I can see like little deconstructed things with little meat piles. And I'm like, we've got a biscuit.
We're from Johnson City, Tennessee. And what we made for you are biscuit cinnamon rolls.
This is great.
Thank you.
The biscuit is made really well. The cinnamon flavor is delicious.
It's us on the plate. I'll just be honest. That's me on the plate right here.
If that's you on a plate, I love it.
I want your recipe.
Fred and Barry,
we made a bananas
foster with a couple of different twists.
If you put chocolates on the dessert, don't put a chunk.
Maybe I love one of the judges.
Drizzle chocolate in a domoy. You have a little cage. It's very delicate. Yes, it's not a big chunk of chocolates. Tell me what you think about that.
It's very pretty, but I don't think it impacted as much on the flavor.
Whatever your intentions were, it didn't turn out.
It was really, really distressing because I know we're better than that.
Alan Manny?
We're from South Jersey, 10 minutes from Philadelphia, and what I made was a traditional sweet dough butter cake.
To me, the pastry seems very tough.
And it will be, because usually the sweet dough needs a few minutes to proof.
The Next Great Baker...
That's because I'm from Jersey, I'm tough,
to
so is my dough.
You can't get a sweet dough to rise and bake in 45 minutes.
Oh, God, no.
Kailani and Roxanne?
And this is a traditional banana cake made by Pioneer Settlers.
Good flavor. But I doubt that the Pioneer has some milk chocolates
in the pocket.
My adapted version of
the Hawaiian version.
Where'd they get the bananas?
Banana trees from the Hawaiians that settled there with them.
There you go. I'm worried about the two Hawaiian girls just because cutesy girls get a lot of attention.
It's a deconstructed cupcake form.
Bon appetito.
Bon appetito.
Has nothing to do with their talent.
The icing is so sweet, I think I got a toothache.
Pink.
Don and Meredith?
I think I got a toothache.
Zeppeli.
I think it's going to taste great. We know we've pulled it off.
I dink them all the time.
We're both born and raised in New York, so what we gave you is a traditional Zeppeli. It's made with ricotta cheese inside. This is the recipe that's been made in my family since before I've been around.
Texture's delicious. The flavor is delicious.
How can a texture be delicious?
Technically, it's very well done. But to be the next wet baker, you have to bring a little bit more to the picture. Maybe a little crème anglaise.
What's with the
maybe a little
French
chocolate
music.
Sauce. So you dip them in and you eat them like that. So you bring something else.
Understood. I'm not really that upset that the French guy doesn't get the Zeppeli. It's okay. I'm not that crazy about crepes, so we'll be all right.
You should probably learn that French guy's name because he's going to be judging your food.
That music is so horribly offensive.
Well, that's cake boss. That's
does
what
he
they
have
use.
Like? Does he have an organ grinder with
you
a monkey?
Yeah, in the music, Bill. Yeah, it's like talking to a tiny little mouse. You know what I like about this show is the very beginning. There's no way to do a clip of it because they're whispering. The people arrive. The first two women do, and they're like, "Oh, we got this." And then this other couple. These two women around, they're like, fake bitches. You know, like, and these other guys, and they're like, oh, we're supposed to be impressed by their muscles. They're like talking shit about everybody you walked in. It was really funny. But the worst, I felt bad from this one couple. Their cake never rose. So it was just like batter. So they gave Buddy a plate of cake batter with like an orange slice in it. And he goes, what is this? It's just like, it's cake batter. I'm not eating this. And he just pushes it away.
It's a deconstructed cake.
Yeah,
it's unheated.
It's a cake pudding, okay?
It's a cake custard.
So that show's silly, and I just thought it would be a funny novelty to have Buddy. So what do you guys say we take a break, and we'll be right back. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Oh, God, no.
Milk it down.
Milk does body.
Milk does a body good.
Pass it on.
Check it out.
It's so cool for hanging out.
It helps you grow up big and tall.
It's good for teeth.
That's not all.
It does.
Hey, Mr. Moo, what do you say?
Fresh Moo juice makes my day.
Milk. It does the body good.
Pass it on.
Milk it does.
Milk it does a body.
Milk it does a body good.
Pass it on.
Pass it on.
Give me an X.
X.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me tic tac toe.
Well,
everywhere I go, it's X's and O's. Makes me feel so hungry for my tic tac toes. They're so tasty.
Chef Boyardee's.
Tick, 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 tick tac toes.
New tic tac toes. A good hot meal. And when you get three X's or O's on your spoon, you win.
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee's.
Tick, 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 tick tac toes.
With and without meatballs.
Yeah!
I'm Captain O.G. Reboar. My motto is tried and true. Read a book today, I bet you'll say O.G. I'll read more too.
Get in here!
Today, sticks and stones could break bones, but Stone Age fun will only thrill you. The Flintstone kids are coming your way today.
Hear anything? Negative.
Sunkiss searches high and low for fun fruit trees. The only trees funny enough to grow Sunkiss fun fruits.
I found them!
Sunkissed fun fruits are made with only the funniest fruits. That's why fun fruits are so much fun to eat. Sunkissed fun fruits. Every chewy one is real fruity fun.
The uh-oh kids dine out.
Uh-oh.
They'd go anywhere for those deliciously wacky SpaghettiOs.
Balloons!
Uh-oh. Lovers of O's.
Me too with meatballs.
Meatballs it out!
Uh-oh. Did you enjoy your meal?
Have it!
Meow!
Meow!
SpaghettiOs!
Announcing the Big Orange Taste of Tang Drawing Contest from Tang Breakfast Beverage Crystals. Just draw what that Big Orange Taste of Tang looks like to you. And you could be a star. Just send your drawing and a Tang label to Tang P.O. Box 4960, Kankakee, Illinois. If you win, you and your drawing go on a Tang commercial. So get ready. The Big Taste of Tang could make you a big star.
You're traveling to a doggy dimension. Your next stop, the Home Puppy Zone. So away we go!
When it comes to adventure, they'll track it down.
Stop or I'll sweep!
And when it comes to fun, they'll live it up. Home Puppies today.
I went to Stillwell once to talk to a group of students. And one of the young men came up to me, and he was probably in about 6th or 7th grade, and he wanted an autograph. And he pulled out this teeny weeny piece of paper, and it had what looked like a road map on the back of it. And I asked him what it was, and he said it was his cheat notes. And so I autographed the back of someone's cheat notes.
The arts need your support.
Oh boy, a magic hole! Wonder what's in here!
We are!
The McDonald's Happy Meal guy!
Right, hamburger,
fries,
and soft drink, all regular size!
Well, what do you know? It's the whole gang!
When you buy McDonald's Happy Meal with color forms, you get different McDonald Land characters.
Hi, Goody.
Hi, Ronald.
And a McDonald Land scene.
Let's stick together!
McDonald's Happy Meal with color forms. You can collect all five.
When time is going slow,
you can speed it up with fun.
With Bubble Yum.
A good time's coming up, cause we're gonna yum it up.
With rockin' fruit and raspberries.
Rock and roll in one. New rockin' raspberry Bubble Yum.
Bubble Yum.
We're gonna rock around the
when you yum it up.
Time
guys,
when you yum it up.
With Bubble Yum.
Bubble Yum and sugarless Bubble Yum.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. One, two, three. Three.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
It's the breakfast, all right. Come on, let's fuck it.
Can nothing stop these soggies? Crunch Power can. Box delicious sweet taste in.
Yikes!
So it's tough to sog out.
You got the point.
Captain Crunch is a crunchy part of a balanced breakfast.
You can get a neat secret message writer.
Hey, there's nothing on there.
Plus 105 colored message decoders.
Secret meeting at recess.
All right.
Now in specially marked boxes of Captain Crunch cereal.
Getting into drugs and being high, it's a stupid thing to do. But being in control and saying no, it's not the easiest thing to do. Be an original and take a stand. You're free to say no. Don't let a friend push you in. Taking drugs, you got a right to say no. Be an original.
You know, getting into drugs and being high is a real stupid thing to do. Being original, say no to peer pressure. Say no may be the smartest thing you ever do.
You got a right to say no. You got a right to say no. No, right to say no.
Good day. Come play with the pooches who know how to party.
Take it away, fellas.
Home Puppies today.
the Legoland King's Castle. You can build this castle and play with it for days. But you've only started. The box shows other ways to build these mighty castles, where knights and horses stand, or joust around to have some fun, or march across the land. Each day there's adventure, always something new. And the team that dreams tomorrow up is Legoland and you. There are six more castle sets you can collect, each sold separately. King's Castle is part of the Legoland Castle Collection and has hundreds of bricks for building. From Lego Systems.
Done at last.
Come on, genius. How about some M&M's?
Hi, kids.
Wow.
Where M&M's chocolate candies go, there's bound to be some fun, you know. It's a bright and colorful wonderland. All the world loves M&M's. Pure milk chocolate joy for everyone.
M&M's chocolate candies. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
See you later.
Why are alphabets fun to eat? Because you can eat the fun.
C is for cow.
There's a cow in my alphabets.
How does he taste?
E is for bus.
There's a bus in my alphabet.
How does it taste?
Post-alphabet cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. You can eat the fun.
The best and we ever ate.
A double pleasure's waiting for you. A double pleasure from Double Mint Gum. A double great feeling, making you realize Double Mint's the one for you. Double fresh, double smooth, double delicious to chew. A double pleasure's waiting for you. A double pleasure.
Duracell batteries we make now live longer than the ones from a few years back. Today's Duracell lasts up to 30% longer.
Attenzione! Give your hamburger an Italian accent with new Chef Boyardee Hamburger Italiano. Delizioso dinners from Chef Boyardee you make with hamburger. See? Pasta and Italian-style sauce simmered to bring out the Italian in me.
Bravo!
New Chef Boyardee Hamburger Italiano gives hamburger an authentic Italian accent.
Lasagna, spaghetti, all your favorites. Mangia Chef Boyardee Hamburger Italiano.
Children believe what their parents tell them.
You're pathetic. You can't do anything right.
You disgust me. Just shut up.
You can't be my kid.
You're worthless.
Hey, stupid, don't you know how to listen?
You're never going to amount to anything.
Why don't you go find some other place to live?
Words hit as hard as a fist. Stop and listen to what you're saying. You might not believe your ears.
I wish you were never born.
Take time out. Don't take it out of your kid.
We've got a biscuit.
Woohoo!
Is that a mouse on the couch?
No. It's a piece of rawhide that's really old. I know, it's kind of creepy looking.
Holy cow.
Baby has this creepy, chewed up piece of rawhide, Bill, and it looks disgusting. And Stephen thought it was a mouse. Steve, Bill, are you there? Testing 1, 2, 3. Bill, are you there?
Bill.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I just got back from the bathroom. It was a hell of a piss.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I was just telling you that Baby has this really old, gross piece of rawhide.
Okay, I was cringing on that one. I wasn't sure where you were going with it.
I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold.
And Stephen thought it was a dead mouse.
It looks just like a dead mouse.
And there have been times where, a long time ago, where Heather goes, Jason, what is this? And I'm like, what? And I look at it and go, I don't know. And I'm like pushing it with my foot. And I'm like, oh, that's one of her chew things. But she gets really weird where she puts it in her mouth and she just walks around with it, does a perimeter sweep. And she looks for places to bury it. And she always goes to the love seat and drops it behind one of the pillows and kind of nudges her head towards it. pushing the dirt, imaginary dirt down, you know?
Yeah.
And she'll growl it like Heather or Emma if they like reached for it. She goes,
"Oh, it looks just like a dead mouse from here."
And it's really grody.
Yeah, I've done that before where I thought it was like a chew toy or something of the cats or the dogs in the hallway, and it was actually a dead mole.
Ah, poor little guy.
No, I hate moles. Die, die, die.
Okay, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen briefly. Because it's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Minnie Driver was on this week's episode, and she was there for her charity, and she was sitting right next to David Anders, who played Sark on Alias, Bill.
Okay, yeah.
And her reactions to everything were actually pretty hilarious. You know, yeah. She would go like, like him yelling at people and stuff. For some reason, that one dude, Scott, and what's the big black dude's name? What's his name? But he was doing horrible. They couldn't cook fish to save their life. It was repeatedly cold in the middle, and Gordon was just getting so pissed. Oh, and by the way, remember when I told you about the scenes to this week? We're going to have the Paul, the
yes.
previous winner. He's going to be choking because that guy Jason poisoned him, and he's going to go to the hospital ambulance. None of that happened.
Yeah, never happened.
You know what he did is he was like, they're like, "Dude, you okay?" And he gets up, goes to commercial break like it's some kind of really scary thing. He goes to the bathroom and he's like, like gagging. Then he comes back and they're like, "You okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, I just had something stuck in my throat. Whatever." And he just goes back to eating. And there's
so he was polite about it.
Yeah, there's no ambulance or anything like that. Like the
fire truck?
Nope. They advertise all that. It never
funeral happened. Hearse.
Yeah. Not even a FedEx truck.
Damn it.
So let's hear, listen to this where Gordon throws the big black dude out. And this is the best part about this, Bill, is that we've seen before where Gordon goes, "Get out of here. Go up the front." And they're walking out and John Philippe's like, "Hey, come back. Come back." And you turn around and he goes, "All you got to do is just apologize. He'll let you back in," or something like that. You've seen that happen before, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's like, wait. It's been a pleasure meeting you, and I'm gonna need that jacket. And he's like, "Oh," and he has to painfully take his jacket off and hand it to him. I was like, that was cruel.
That belongs to Fox.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of mean, but it was funny. Let's check this out, okay, Bill?
Yeah.
Are you still there, Bill?
I am here.
Okay, let's check this out.
It's an hour and a half into dinner service, and both Scott and Gabriel have floundered on the fish station for the Oxfam charity table.
What the f*** are you two doing?
And Chef Ramsay has reached his boiling point.
You're out of control.
Oh, here we go. He's sitting with the fishes tonight.
You knew it went over, and you still bring it to me.
No, Chef, I didn't think it held over that far.
You still brought it to me.
I apologize, Chef. I didn't mean to do that.
And your skin is soft.
Yes, Chef.
You too. Ready to go?
No, Chef.
Wake up.
Yes, Chef. Give me 3 minutes on that salmon.
All of you, come here. Yeah, oh, really? What next? What possibly could be wrong? The salmon is raw. It's raw and it's stone cold.
It's cold.
You are done. The competition for you is over. Get out.
Yes, sir.
Hey, young man, front door. Get out.
Crap, that's a bad way to leave.
Sorry, team.
Get out.
Gosh.
You can just be thrown out of that kitchen. It's that late in the game, and it's that serious. Gabriel?
Yep.
Sorry, man.
It was a pleasure.
Listen, pleasure was ours. However, I need your jacket.
Just didn't go my way tonight. It was just one bad service. Too many. Instead of getting a black jacket, they took my blue jacket.
I'm sure you know what's going on.
My heart hurts right now, man, because...
I heard it.
Melanie.
Yes, Chef.
What's wrong with you? Seriously, what's wrong? Pink chicken.
I know. I don't even want to talk about that. That was the most embarrassing thing. I pulled a bunch of rookie mistakes that I shouldn't do.
You're a better chef than that.
No, you know I'm not like that. I'm not. I'm talking always. I'm running up. I don't know what was with me tonight. I'm sorry, Chef.
Chef.
Yeah.
Do you have 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, this part when Scott goes to
Andy.
I don't think anyone's ever done this before, have they? Where it's like, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second?" And he just wants some advice. Has anyone ever done that?
No, not that I've ever seen.
I thought that was interesting.
How do you
take the lashings.
You just need to move on.
Yeah.
And show improvement. Sometimes it hurts really bad, but you just gotta let it roll off.
I know you've worked with him for so long now, and it's hard for somebody coming in that hasn't been through that to try to understand it, you know?
Well, this is the thing. It's the mistakes that are being made should never happen. Yeah. And so when they do, they're catastrophic. I mean, people have their food and don't have their food, and stuff's not coming out, and it truly affects him. Like, he gets so upset.
Right.
So you take it, you know, sorry, chef, my bad, and just move on.
Sure.
You can't let it get to you.
Yeah.
Let it get to your head.
You know,
tomorrow's a new day. I always wake up, I put my feet down on the floor, and I'm like, you know what? Today's a new day.
Thanks so much for... thanks.
You know what I'd say is, Scott, go to YouTube and watch Boiling Point, this series on when Gordon was trying to get his Michelin star, and this is nothing compared to that. So just so you know, it's no big deal. Just
You're on Kitchen Night or Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, this is nothing. He's doing it to help you, okay? Now, he also did this thing at the end. I had to make a clip of this because they do this on MasterChef all the time where – there was Jason and Scott left. One of them is going home, right?
Right.
Which one will go home? Gordon wouldn't possibly try to trick them, would he?
Scott, tell me why you think you deserve a black jacket.
Chef, I work hard and I improve every day. I have made my mistakes, but I keep pushing forward. I'm here to prove to you that I can be the next chef. I'm here to do whatever I can every single day.
Jason.
I'm gonna take it one day at a time.
Why do you deserve a black jacket?
I know what I'm doing here. I am consistently doing well. I communicate well with other people. I'm passionate about this. I am willing to suffer for what I love. This is what I love to do. So I should still be here.
Do you think you're a stronger chef than Scott?
I am. I'm used to dealing with like the pressure, and I have a passion for meat, but it seems that's what this is all about.
Scott, what separates you from Jason?
Did he see a passion?
I think I'm a lot more creative than Jason is. I think I can put up better flavors. I think I've got a much better palate than Jason does.
No, you don't.
Do you have a passion for me?
Oh, yeah.
My decision is... Scott, take your jacket off.
Poor guy.
Because I've got a black jacket for you.
Yeah! Oh! Psyched him out, yo!
No big excuses. Congratulations.
Fish
back in line,
you chef. So Jason's going home then, right?
Jason. I'm sorry.
You are an embarrassment in that jacket.
That I held on to your black jacket so long. Congratulations.
Ah, you! Oh, Gordon.
Thank you. Yeah.
I like that one. What is the girl's name? Rochelle or something?
Give yourselves a round of applause. Come on.
Thank you.
Well done.
Sarah Rochelle.
Now, she's like
in
asking
the group of elites.
Jason.
My goodness me. Well done.
Who do you
good
think?
Job.
Thank you, Sarah.
You were sweating there. Scott. Jeez. What's that smell? Congratulations.
What is this
well
clip
done.
In? He's like, she's like, wait, who do you think you're going to put up? And he just looks at her and goes, I'm putting you up.
Nice.
I just thought that was funny. Okay, I want to talk about MasterChef, you guys, because they did one of those, they go out into the field. They went out into the middle of nowhere to do a wedding, and they were cooking.
I thought you were going to say, you have to kill your own food or one another.
And then cook it for 100 people at a wedding. Oh,
and here's Matt Nicholson to try the food.
Now, you guys know that Leslie, the long-haired Malibu guy... He is a really good cook. You guys already know that from the previous episode. But is he a good leader?
No, he's an asshole.
We'll find out here, but I just got to clear my throat or something. When Gordon comes up, he goes, okay, so what are you doing? He goes, he just starts like stuttering and saying ums. He's not sure what to do. And it was so funny when he picked the girl. Her name is Aron. He was like, I guess I'll pick.
She runs so far away. Sorry. I gotta do it every week.
Well, he was picking names. You know, you have to pick your team. And he goes, Iran. And she goes, my name is Aron. And he's like, okay. Oh, you know, like made a big deal out of it. So maybe that she has a problem with being called Iran. I don't know. But
my grandmother.
She starts yelling at him, but they do the best thing. They obviously lose. But they ask Leslie, okay, Leslie, you're the captain of the team. Only 3 people have to do the pressure test. Who are those 3 people going to be? And he goes, well, okay. And he's like rubbing his hands. He's like, well, of course, I'm going to pick this dude because he's an asshole. This guy didn't do anything to help me, even though I really worked hard for him. And Iran, she's going up too. She's got to cook. And everyone's like, what an asshole. You know, this girl's like 19 and he made her cry earlier. And
I didn't know she was 19.
Yeah, she's like 18 or 19. She's real young.
So everyone's like jerk. And one girl goes, coward. Who, like,
what a dickweed.
So then this is the great thing. And Joe goes, well, it's good to know that because you're not picking who gets to go in there.
Nice.
And he's like, Joe! And they're like,
Joe, you smarmy bastard.
And then they go, you know what, Leslie? We think you should cook in the pressure. He's just like, damn it. But let's go ahead and check this out. I thought it was hilarious how they just totally screwed him over.
That's beautiful.
The red team is having difficulty getting on the same page.
Right, Captain, where are you?
Yes, sir.
Explain the menu.
We're doing scallops on a pea puree.
Avocado
with pea and avocado puree. And we're going to do a little fennel on the side.
On top.
And then,
sounds like stuff. Francis, do you know the menu? More
yes,
than the captain?
He knows the menu more than I do.
Hold on. So who's the captain?
I'm the captain.
Okay, entree. Yes. Talking about the entree. Sea bass.
Sea bass. We're going to...
We're going to put it on a plate.
No, we're still trying to get our groove.
I mean, seriously.
He really is terrible.
Can you have a meeting and get your... together now.
Okay.
This is embarrassing.
Talk to me. Everybody's walking away. Talk to me.
Leslie's panicking. He's all over the place. He's going, Talk to me.
Anybody need anything? We're finished with the ginger. No more ginger. What? Talk to me.
You're supposed to be telling us what to do. Why do we gotta talk to you?
I'm sorry. I didn't turn out to be what you guys wanted. I'm not perfect, okay? This is a learning curve for me.
You have no communication, like, skills at all.
So can I say something? Are you just going to jump in every time because you're an 18-year-old and that's what you do?
Hey, you know what?
Oh, my God.
You know what? You can disrespect me all you want, okay? Because that's what teenagers do.
Because you earned that respect.
Okay, so grow up and grow some balls.
Wait, Leslie, you're 56.
Yeah.
She's 18. Don't compare with her.
And from the moment I pick... her, she gave me this look of, I don't want to be on your team.
You know why? It's because you mispronounced my name. And
well, I'm sorry.
You know
I apologize. I don't know how else to put sorry. S-O-R-R-Y. That's sorry.
You're not sorry at all.
You're being really condescending right now, and it's not
of course I'm condescending, because I'm tired of getting beat up by everybody here. I don't want to stand here and be abused. Okay? Enough is enough. She had no respect for me from day one. And if you want respect, you have to earn it. And if I give it to you,
wow,
I damn better get it back.
Advice.
That's how the real world works. Please, may I thank you. That's how I was brought up. Not crying and running and...
Leslie, you were the team captain. Captains, leaders have to make big and very serious decisions. Which three members of your team do you think should compete in tonight's pressure test?
They threw me under the bus, so I figured now it's my turn to return the favor. I think I'm going to start off with Christian. He seems to know everything and do everything, so I'd like to see him perform.
Second choice, please.
Daniel, because I was on his team and I killed myself for him, no matter what.
Wow.
And he did nothing for me except complain about me. And, Iran.
Why
Iran? She and I don't seem to see eye to eye, and I have the choice, and I can.
Coward. Like, honestly, what the hell, dude? If he was a real man, he would have chosen himself to cook in the pressure test.
Interesting choices. Fortunately for them, it's not your decision.
We will be deciding which three of you will face the pressure test.
Oh, geez. I mean, this can't get any worse. First, they nailed me to a cross on a beach. Now they're going to burn me at a stake.
I love that. They totally made him look like such an asshole.
No, I'm glad that they emphasized how much of an asshole he is. He's just rude and obnoxious.
I know. And unfortunately, the kid, Jordan, they had to make a great wholesome American steak. And you know what? They haven't been plugging Walmart at all this season. They haven't even mentioned Walmart.
Because they got a ton of shit because of it last season on Twitter.
Thank goodness.
I even tweeted, Graham Elliott Bowler and said, hey,
Bowls.
How about them steaks from Walmart?
I thought it was Graham Elliott Bowls.
It's Bowl Graham Elliott.
Oh. Why'd you say bowler? Oh, because he bowls. He's a bowler.
Yeah.
Okay. You're confused. But, yeah, so they said you're in the pressure test, you have to make an American steak or whatever. Like, everyone in America eats steak.
A steak from America.
Yes.
This is from a cow from America. This is an American cow.
Jordan, the young kid, he, I think he's 19. Or he's younger than Iran, I think. Or is he 18? He was the youngest person in the competition, and he didn't sear the fat off the side bill.
Ooh.
And they were like, that is a no-no. And he was like, oh, man, gotta go home.
And now, could they cook it any way they wanted to?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what I would
do? Funniest part is...
They had to do it all, medium rare.
Okay. Right.
The funniest part is they were helping one other guy. I forget his name, Pablo or something. He was competing against Leslie, and they're like, you need to add some herb butter.
Compost.
Yeah, herb butter. Like, mix up this, chop it up and mix it in with the butter. And he was like, oh, okay. And Leslie was like, bitching. Oh, great, they're helping him over there. They really want me to lose. But
how about you just concentrate on yourself, asshole?
Yeah. So that was pretty good. So the show actually gets more entertaining when villains emerge on the show.
Yeah. You know what we might have to do? I was going to say the best way to cook a steak ever that I've ever done.
What's that?
Directly on the hot coals. Like, get natural lump charcoal, you get it super duper glowing hot, and then you just throw the steak right on the coal. It's called a caveman steak. And it, like, sears the meat to the point of crispiness.
Yeah.
And it does, like, a perfect medium rare.
They had to make it perfect medium rare. It couldn't be medium. It had to be medium rare.
They should watch Steven Reichlin. That guy knows what he's doing with the meat.
Okay, I want to talk about 24. Have you guys watched it?
Yes.
No, I can't wait to hear what happened.
Dude, it was awesome.
Last thing I saw was President goes boom, and that's it.
Right. William Devane died, and then on this episode, the woman, what's her name, Margaret Alharazi,
Yeah, you nailed it.
Her son is rewatching the footage of right when Heller, and the video skips for a second.
Uh-oh.
It turns out it was on a loop.
They speed him.
Jack Bauer actually saved Heller, Bill, and he's not dead.
Holy shit, that's amazing.
This is after she has dumped all but one drone into the ocean, so she's pissed. She turns that, gets her son, turn that thing around. We're going to go blow up someplace that's heavily, like, it's got a bunch of people in it, and I think it's like the train station.
Right.
They're going to blow up a train station that has, like, thousands of people in it, right? But because of Chloe, she's rerouting the subsystems in that cafe. She knows where they're at. So,
Jack,
he infiltrated. Oh, thank you, Steven. Is that what his name is?
Jack. I had no idea. Is it Jack?
Jack
infiltrates the building. Meanwhile, Kate and the black agent, they're like shooting people downstairs. Jack is on the roof and he's repelling
down the sign. I love that agent is so, just unknowable. That it's just that black agent.
Yeah.
That guy.
But there's a lot of killing and shooting bad guys. But
awesome.
I love Jack swings down the side of the building and he's right in the window. The sun goes, he mows down the window and he goes like, did I get him? And he reaches forward. Jack pulls him out the window and he falls to his death. He's like, ah! And the chick from Game of Thrones, she's like, no. And then Jack climbs in the window and she reaches for a gun. Jack shoots her. And then this happens, Bill. Let's check this out. Let's check this out. That was the sun. Ooh. And he shoots her. The missile launches. It's heading towards
about
the station.
30 seconds.
They're not going to make it out in time.
I got Margot Alharazi in custody and the override device. What now?
The missile's launched.
What?
You can divert it, Jack. It's laser guided.
Jack's like, what?
Before targeting inlay, you can use that to redirect the drone's trajectory.
Ooh.
Hurry, Jack. Woohoo! He got it right in the water, Bill, just in time. Now listen to this.
So that's
she so wants to jump his bones.
Hundreds of people died today because of you and Ella. You think you've won, but this is all on your head.
The only death tonight on my head is yours.
That's right. Jack says the only death on my head is yours. And he throws her out the window.
Nice.
And they usually do a cutaway when they hit. Not her. They go... They just show her smacking in the cement right next to her son.
So that's the second son she's lost from being thrown out a window, technically.
Yep, technically. Well, the other one, he's still alive.
Well, now he's Hodor's friend. He's the Hodor round.
Hodor. Yeah, he is the Hodor round. But Bill, that's why this episode was awesome, because... Like I said, Jack needs to kill like 30 people per episode, and it's super entertaining, right?
He matched the quota, the kill quota.
Oh, yeah. And then,
if not the quota, then the severity of the kill.
Well, you remember that it's not CTU, Jason. The CIA IT guy who was going to be killed by Benjamin Bratt's assassin?
Yes.
He died, but he died with the assassin right next to him, and the police have found his body, so they're trying to figure out who this guy is. He doesn't have any credentials. So Jack knows somebody with the CIA or somewhere, and they take his prints and they scan him into Kate's. Did you like, she like puts his fingers on her iPhone. She's like, okay, you got those? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what technology is this? I can read fingerprints from a dead body on the phone and just zip it on over to somebody else's phone.
Just photo scanned it in.
And Jack's like, okay, well, do you have the guy's identity? And the guy's like, yeah, he's John Schmidt or something. And he goes, who was his handler? His handler was Benjamin Bratt. And he's like, holy shit! And he runs into the room, and Benjamin Bratt's already taken out one guy, choked him out, and taken that device, the decoding device that was... how they broke into the drones.
I should have never divorced Julia Roberts.
It turns out, Bill, that drone thing, that can actually break into any security system, even nuclear subs.
Oh.
And so Jack chases after Benjamin Bratt. So now they all know that he's the bad guy. So that's the new villain. Pretty cool. Oh, and also Chloe has no idea that her friend, who is the bad guy, Top Dollar from The Crow.
Fire it up!
He is the bad guy who he's basically going to pay Benjamin Bratt for delivering the device.
So Margaret Al-Harazi was the red herring, literally.
Yes.
Oh. Kill him! Man, I need to watch this shit.
Let enter.
So, yes. Well, that's what they usually do on 24. It's so funny. In previous seasons, it's only 12 episodes this season, but it used to be 24. They would do one villain would turn into another, and then another. They would, like, kill a bad guy halfway and then have a new threat. So that's what they're doing now in a shorter time. But I have no idea what episode this was. Do you? What hour was this?
Was it like 8?
I can't remember.
I'm wondering how many episodes are left, but I love Jack throwing her out the window. It was hilarious.
I can't wait to watch that. That's fun.
Now, what about Defiance? Did you guys watch that?
No, sir.
No, sir.
You guys
but I played a good bit of it.
Oh, awesome. But
have you seen an Ark Hunter named Nolan? He's traveling with an Arathian girl.
Yeah, there's this NPC walking around in this one section. It's like some ranch where you buy guns and stuff. And he's like, have you seen an Ark Hunter named Nolan? He's also with an Arathian girl. And he says it over and over again as you're playing the game.
I swear he's in more than just that place. I think somewhere else buying like mods for a gun, and he showed up again. I was like, dude, how did you get here too?
Well, it's funny because I started playing and like catching up on the storyline missions, and I started helping Nolan. He's like, I'm looking for my daughter, Arissa. And I was like, oh, this was before the first episode. He thinks she's in some kind of cult, so you help him raid this cult and kill everyone Basically, that's what you do in that game is you kill everybody, and the cult leader is this lady, and you take her out. And
well, so we get to play with Dark Nolan.
Yeah. And the guy goes, there goes the no man, the butcher of Yosemite. And I was like, what? What the hell did he do in Yosemite to get that name? It turns out he just butchered meat. He just, you know, ran a shop, I guess, right?
He had the best dry aged steaks around.
Better than that Walmart
best
shit.
Dry-aged steaks ever.
His fresh produce was second to none.
They introduce a new character. Her name is Berlin. She's a young chick.
Oh, I love. They were great on the Top Gun soundtrack.
Yes. No, wait, that's not the. But anyway, Bill, she is with the E-Rep, and Nolan and Arissa show up, and she gives them shit and arrests them, which is really annoying. You're like, they're the stars of the show. How could you do this? And Nolan's like, I used to be the lawman here. And they lock him up, and someone is setting off bombs.
I was the law.
That was a whole used to ago.
What's funny is there's a bomb hidden in a hellbug pinata. It's something called a shrill bomb because they get these little shrill bugs that are like flesh eating. They pack it in the bomb and it blows up and the flesh eaters like stick on people and they're all like, ah, it's kind of evil actually.
Pretty awesome.
They tell Nolan, hey, you catch the bomber. We'll let Arissa out of prison or jail or whatever. So he's like, all right. So he meets this chick who's...
Were there any hand jobs in this episode?
No, there weren't. But funny enough is that Daytac talked this guy into this... yeah, remember last week?
Another hand job?
Last week... Or, you know, Pottinger, he comes to the prison to ask the doctor, that doctor chick, she has a safe that he can't open, and he wants it open. So he goes and talks to her and says, what's in the safe? You're going to tell me. And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And he tells the bioman, her hand, one of her fingers. And it's so funny. He puts her hand down and he goes, think of something pleasant, like Christmas. And then he takes a bite and goes, chop. And she's like, ah! I just was like, holy shit. And then Daytac talks.
Bio man is Godzilla.
He talks this religious zealot guy in prison into killing Pottinger.
Wow.
And so when Pottinger's there, he goes up with a, you know, casty blade. You know,
oh, sweet.
He goes up and he's about to kill him, but Daytac goes, no! And he grabs him and he stabs the guy in the throat and he's like, I saved your life. And Pottinger's like, oh, how nice of you. I see right through your plan. You had the guy try to kill me, took him out. No, thank you.
And nice try, Daytac.
But Daytac's like, no, if I, anything, you see I'm a guy with the means to get things done, and I'd be willing to work for you. He goes, oh, perhaps we'll talk in 10 years when your sentence is up. And he gets up and leaves, and Daytac's like, damn you!
Man, nothing's just working out for Daytac.
Yeah, so Nolan has to team up with the E-Rep girl, and here's a scene they have together, and she tells him he's watched Star Wars too many times as a kid. Let's check this out.
What?
Turning things on.
Well, you do have the whole town wired, don't you, Sparky?
That's what the mayor wanted.
I'm old enough to remember hacked email, GPS tracking, surveillance drones. Where does it end?
It ends when we get all those things back again.
Oh, you be careful what you wish for, E-Rep.
You're a real happy cowboy, aren't you?
Did you really just call me a happy cowboy?
It's written all over your face, the way you carry yourself, that jokey, tough guy shtick. I bet you watched Star Wars a few hundred times when you were a kid.
You know, we've been through a long, bloody war. Some of us have developed this thing called a sense of humor.
Bullshtack.
To help us stay sane.
You're not trying to paper over your nasty wartime past. We all have that. You're trying to hide the fact that you like where it dumped you out, driving around in that busted-ass roller with your hot Chewbacca, chupping whores and shooting people who cause you trouble.
Call that hand cannon strapped to your side blaster, and you've got the complete picture. You're living your fantasy, and it only took 10 years of an apocalyptic war and the near destruction of the Earth's surface.
No, this is all very entertaining, if a little facile, given that we've just met.
Admit it. You like the world just the way it is. A playground for a man who'd rather not grow up than face the fact that this doesn't work for most everybody else.
What about you, Captain?
What made you swallow the E-Rep company line, hook and sinker?
When I was 8, a gang of VC deserters came into my home and killed my mother and my brother. There was nothing I could do and no one I could call. Now, when people see the E-Rep flag in my cameras, they know that they can walk the streets and feel safe. This is the price to pay for civilization. We're salvaging whatever's left of it, then yeah, I'm down with it.
It's funny because, you know, like 24 was about drones and surveillance. This girl was putting cameras up all over Defiant so they can keep an eye on people. So they're trying to be topical, you know. But I just think it's hilarious that this keeps coming up in shows, don't you?
That's the go-to, man. They want to be like, oh, I see what they're doing there.
Oh, yep. But
they need a character that whispers a lot.
It turns out, Bill, that the guy who is setting the bombs is Skeever. He's so pissed out of losing an eye that he was trying to take Stama out.
Damn it, Skeever.
Yeah, and so at the end, he bombs her car, but Nolan gets to it just in time and deactivates it. So they have Skeever in custody, and his mother's like, "Alack, you have dishonored this family because you're soft. You need to take care of them." And she hands him a casty blade.
Mm.
And so he's like, "It was basically a letter opener lightsaber, isn't it?"
Yeah. Yes.
So it'd be so cool to open mail with one of those, wouldn't it? Or packages, like from Amazon or something.
Yeah, you might damage something.
So he goes there to kill him, and the guy starts to sweet talk Alack. He goes, "You're not your father. You're nothing like your parents." And he's like, "He's right." And then he struggles free, and he grabs him, and he wants trying to stab Alack. And he struggles, and finally, right, just like Saving Private Ryan, buries the blade into his chest. But it wasn't disturbing because it's a laser blade, and that's pretty cool. You know? I was like, "Oh, it's awesome!"
It's cauterizing as he goes in, so there's
yeah. He's like, "No!"
Yeah, it's kind of instant death once you cauterize the heart.
And it's cool because after they show Alack leave, he gets up and he walks out, and he seems fine, but he goes, and just like throws up everywhere. And I was like, "Yep, that's nice."
Well, that's what happens, you know. That first kill, you never forget it.
First time you plug a guy. But, Defiance has been good. It's been entertaining and stuff.
I can't wait to check it out.
All right, you guys watch that. And, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
What do some news?
Oh, and I wanted to say, are you guys going to watch The Leftovers on HBO? Give it a try, that first episode?
I don't know, man. That's really freaking depressing. And I grew up with that whole Rapture thing, and I still have Rapture PTSD. I don't know if I could take it.
I like the idea that people, basically 2% of the population disappear and the world's gone nuts, not knowing why. Mm-hmm. And people don't believe it's the rapture because they're like, "Why am I still here? I'm a good person." So yeah. Everyone's struggling with what's going on. I'm going to watch the first episode. It looks like some heavy kind of sad stuff.
I watched the making of it and it's just so depressing.
Like, I'm going to hold a razor in my hand while I'm watching it.
Yeah, I think that's almost appropriate.
All right, Bill, let's do the news! All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Full stack.
All right. As we all know, the new Las Vegas restaurant from celebrity douche chef Guy Fieri is now operating. KNPR's Andrew Corrali bravely took on three of the most insane items on Guy Fieri's Vegas Kitchen's menu. The fondue dippers, something called a mac and cheese bacon burger that a waiter strained to carry with one hand.
Oh my God.
And for dessert, something called the Cheesecake Challenge. The menu describes the Cheesecake Challenge as a mountain of cheesecake, but it turns out even the overwrought sounding description wasn't enough to do it justice.
Why do you have to risk your life to eat?
I don't get it. I don't get that mentality, but this is sort of disgusting. I love cheesecake. Like, I'm a cheesecake-aholic. This says it's literally a half a cheesecake. As in, if you purchased two of them, it would be an entire cheesecake.
Holy shit.
This is a dessert item on a menu for people who are not overly interested in slowly killing themselves.
Blood squirting in there!
It's half a cheesecake, studded with pretzels and potato chips, then zigzagged with a drizzle of hot fudge.
Squirting my cake!
So we've got pretzels, potato chips, and squirts of hot fudge.
Is he just being an asshole, or?
I'll eat the potato chips off. I'll take the pretzels and the hot fudge.
We've got a biscuit!
Yeah, it's half, so we've got, it's sitting flat, like a half a moon, so it's set on its edge like a wheel, and presented as a sort of runway half that's been ripped, like a moon that's been ripped out of orbit.
Wow.
I mean, it's incredible. I've never heard of something so disgusting.
Is it the kind of thing you're like, you go with like 10 people and everyone's like, let's all share this kind of a thing?
Yeah, it reminds me of like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the Ziggy Piggy. Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy.
It's so crazy.
You could take Napoleon to his restaurant and he would eat the whole thing, the Cheesecake Challenge. He would win it.
Nice.
All right, Hutchinson, Kansas. A Kansas woman is facing arson charges after she allegedly set a small fire in her home early on Friday morning while trying to kill a spider. According to the Hutchinson News, Ginny Griffith used a cigarette lighter to set some towels on fire in an attempt to assassinate the arachnid.
Nice, that'll do it.
Yeah, five Hutchinson Fire Department units were able to extinguish the fire in Griffith's half of a duplex. Firefighters found multiple points of origin for the fire, and Griffith was arrested and charged with aggravated arson because the other half of the duplex was occupied. She's taken the kill it with fire thing a little too literally. Now, I don't like spiders, but I just get the vacuum.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Yeah, I honestly hate spiders spiders that I can't see. I know they're like everywhere, but when I see one, there was one the other day, I went to stomp on him and he jumped up like towards me like, oh yeah. And I was like, holy shit.
Bitch, I'm a jumping spider.
Like it's like a human fighting Godzilla, right? And the human going, screw you, runs like, jumps in the air with like a spear or something. That's what a spider jumping at me is like, isn't it?
Except you jump backwards.
That would be like Godzilla going, oh shit!
it's probably not even, something that bites.
Yeah, and that's their defense mechanism to just leap towards you and go, oh!
I mean, granted, I see those like wolf spiders around here a lot, and they're huge. They're like mini tarantulas, but they don't do anything. I assume they don't, but they still freak me out.
Oh yeah, it's in my garage. Like there's spider webs all over the garage door. When I open it, I can see them all like dangling down, and I've tried to like clean them all off and stuff, but whenever I have to take out the recyclables, I'm just like,
it's like done. Spiders!
Leave me alone!
Yeah, I get plenty of them out here in the country. It's bad. Alright. Fire up the Jaegers. Pacific Rim 2 confirmed for April 7th, 2017.
Oh, hell yeah! You gonna be there, Steven?
Oh, yeah.
Front and center?
No, front rear and back.
Back row.
Back and center.
Awesome.
Guerrilla del Toro has committed to making a sequel to Pacific Rim, with Universal scheduling the release for April 7th, 2017.
Bill, remember, it's Guerrilla-mo del Toro.
Guerrilla-mo. Okay, I'm sorry. Guerrilla-mo del Toro. He's co-writing the script along with Zach Penn and Travis Beecham. Legendary's Thomas Tall and John Jashny will once again produce alongside del Toro. It's set to release in 3D and IMAX, and the first title scheduled to release April 7th, 2017. Directed the original Pacific Rim.
Oh, that's Jaeger sounds, Bill.
Yes, it is. It's the original Pacific Rim, of course, directed by del Toro, starring Charlie Hunnam, Idris Elba, Rinko Kikuchi.
We know that Idris Elba won't be in the next one, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Unless it's a prequel. They can
I hope Charlie Day's in it along with the other guy. I can't remember his name.
You mean the creepy guy from Game of Thrones?
Was he? Oh, yes, he was. Yeah, that's right. I love that they cover how much it cost and how much it made. They're such assholes.
I know. Like, who cares? Come on.
Had a price tag of $190 million, only made $101 million in the United States, but it performed decently at the international box office with $310 million. That's decently. So earning, $411 million with a budget of $190, it's just decent.
Yeah,
not a big deal.
Not really that great.
Yeah, they didn't see a reason to make a sequel with that.
Maybe because it was badass and people loved it.
Yeah, especially once they got to see it at home.
Hell yes.
And I have plenty of people that went, oh my God, after we watched it, we hated that we didn't get to see it in a theater in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, well, you know,
and
that's
I know
what happens.
There's two different people for it, because I saw some people go, hated it. What a stupid
My
movie.
Brother didn't like
it. It's like, well, it wasn't for you then. It was for me. And I liked it. Yeah.
Sorry. Jason. I had to yell at Webster. All right. So Legendary Films now no longer works with Warners. They ended their co-financing, co-producing deal at the end of last year. And Legendary has now signed a long-term contract with Universal. So it'll be released by Universal.
You're a real happy cowboy, aren't you?
Yeah, yes. I think I'm relatively happy. And Del Toro released a statement on YouTube saying he was finishing up post-production on Crimson Peak, which opens in October.
Huh.
And he is happy to be bringing more Jaegers, more kaijus, and more butt-kicking.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
That's going to be sweet.
It is.
Because, you know, when they make the sequels, usually the effects are even better. Like, didn't Michael Bay watch this movie and go, oh, I see they move slower so where people can tell what's going on. Maybe I should, I'm not going to try that. Woo!
Speed.
Yeah. I'm going to add a giant dinosaur.
Well, now it's like they have all that sort of effects process in place so that they can kind of perfect it.
Mm-hmm. I hope he shoots it in 3D, too.
Digitally in 3D, or you mean just like the 2D sections?
No, 3D cameras.
Oh, yeah. He needs to. It just needs to be done at this point.
Yeah,
stop fiddling around.
He's friends with, like, James Cameron and
exactly.
All those dudes. Yeah.
Get on that shit, Guerrilla-mo.
You're not his book.
The Guerrilla-mo notebook. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat.
He's an imaginative dude.
He really is. I mean, I've watched interviews with him where he talks about, being inspired by his own personal nightmares and...
This movie couldn't have happened without someone like him.
No,
as
it couldn't
say,
have.
Indispensable?
Indispensable.
Would you say a plethora?
What is a plethora?
All right, next story. We have a bit of Shia LaBeoufery.
Oh, no. Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Please, may
no
I
one's
think
used that
that's how
yet,
I was brought
think.
Up.
what's old Shia LaBeouf up to?
Well, it seems that adulthood just doesn't agree with Shia LaBeouf.
Adulthood.
At 27, LaBeouf announced earlier this year in a tweet that he was retiring from all public life. Perhaps he's already grown bored because Thursday night, he turned 20. Why do they put in commas who turned 28 earlier this month? Who cares? He was arrested for essentially behaving like a toddler.
About Shia LaBeouf. Yes.
Yeah, we know who he is.
Yeah. He was forcibly removed from the Broadway performance of Cabaret during the first act for allegedly smoking inside the theater and generally causing a disturbance. He was annoying other theater goers by slapping random people on the behind and on the top of the head. Reportedly, he slapped Alan Cumming on the behind, who is one of the actors in the show.
Was he drunk or something?
They are saying that no, he was not drunk.
What the hell?
In fact, he was even spitting, and they had to put one of those Hannibal Lecter masks on him after they arrested him.
Get your motherfucking hands off me!
Yeah, because he kept spitting on people.
What's this dude's damage?
He always seemed slightly off, you know, the way his mom was always hanging around, and he was just, he wanted to use big words, and he wanted to be kind of witty, and I think he's just like the star for attention.
He's the epitome of immaturity, Bill.
Yes, he's the epitome of strength.
Have you ever heard that?
He's like, I love epitome. That. They always play that, like, as a little bumper for the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, it's just like having a headache in your hand, you know?
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
If you put your head in your hand and you happen to have a headache, that's having a headache in your hand?
About Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, we know. Yes. We know it's Shia LaBeouf. I think that's the only Shia LaBeouf drop we have.
Yeah, I will only ever call him LaBeouf.
All I know is no.
I love that YouTube video where it's like 8 minutes of him doing that in every film he's ever been in.
He's actually still acting though, right? He's in that movie, The Fury or whatever it's called.
No, he's Fury. Yeah, with Brad Pitt and a couple other people.
That looks pretty incredible. I can't wait to see that.
It does look good. It kind of reminds me of like a DOS boot in a tank.
Yeah, it's going
to
be cool.
Going to McDonald's instead of finishing here.
Yeah, we'll go to McDonald's.
Yeah, we'll go see that and go to McDonald's afterwards.
Sweet. All right, this final story is something special, man. Muskegon County, Michigan. The images captured on two Muskegon County Sheriff's Office cruisers are startling. A shirtless man, a 4-foot metal pipe, charges one of the cruisers with the large pipe in hand before being thrown onto the windshield of the vehicle. Authorities said Deputy Thomas Johnson had no time to react to the shirtless man who charged the cruiser, was thrown on top of the hood of the vehicle, and then bounced off the windshield before getting back on his feet, seemingly uninjured.
Whoa, he's like a Terminator.
The incident occurred around 11 p.m. on Sunday, June 22nd, in a 3,000 block of Duff Road in Dalton Township. Brown said the man later identified as Calquin Dion Burr appeared to be under the influence of mind-altering drugs. The deputies were called out to the Dalton Township area that night on the report of a prowler. Police received at least two reports of a man trying to open doors in the neighborhood. One witness confronted the man prior to his collision with the police cruiser. The witness said the man was talking gibberish, could not be understood.
No shit, wizard, get the hell out of my store.
The witness said the man appeared to be drunk or high and was talking about seeing blue orbits.
No, Spunky, this is my corn dog.
Oh my God,
following the cruiser incident, the man was taken into custody after deputy pointed a stun gun at him and ordered him to the ground.
But it's nugget night.
God damn it, shirts. Following his arrest, Burr told the deputies that he didn't know what he was doing, saying that he could have tackled that car and could have crushed it if he wanted to. He claimed he was from the planet Voltron, that his father sent him.
He's from Voltron?
He's
awesome.
From Voltron, damn it.
But that's a giant robot. It's not a planet.
Hey, don't you tell him that.
My mom says you can't eat any of our food anymore.
Shirts, you really need to lay off those nuggets. He refused treatment from the ProMed officials at the scene and appeared to have abrasions from the back of the windshield.
It's so crazy.
Burr is expected to be arraigned later Thursday, June 26th in Muskegon County. Police report indicates that he has two warrants out for his arrest at the time of Sunday's incident. One out of Hesperia and another for failing to register as a sex offender.
Can I help you?
So I guess they don't like sex offenders on Voltron.
I guess not.
This is embarrassing!
Apparently he figured he would come here because we're more lenient. I don't know.
You know what I just realized about this guy?
I am mentally divergent.
I think you're right.
He's mentally divergent. One part of him is here. The other part is on the planet Voltron.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's got to be tough. You know, you separate your consciousness and one doesn't catch up with the other and then shit hits the fan.
And he left his shirt on Voltron.
He did. But it looks like he didn't leave his pants.
Bitch!
Wow.
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. Whee!
They don't drink milkshakes, I assure you.
Yeah. Okay, well, what do you say we do some DVDs, huh?
Let's do them.
That would be pretty awesome. Oh! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
Yes! Oh, hell, Yizzle, the DVD dizzles. Oh, my gosh. All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
Well, let's start out with the third volume of Star Blazers 2099.
Oh, hell yes!
I'm sorry, 2199.
Like, honestly, what the hell, dude?
Oh, dude, I love Star Blazers.
Also known as, of course, Space Battleship Yamato 2199. Yes. But this is the American release. I'm sure it's all wonderfully, horribly dubbed. But so this would imply that there are actually two earlier volumes. And I remember I downloaded like 10 episodes of this for you.
Yeah.
So it's still going. I don't know how many episodes there are now.
It looks gorgeous. I kind of want it dubbed, honestly.
Yeah, well, this cartoons is what I'll look for you.
Cartoons but, lose something in the translation when they're subtitled. Because you have to do all the reading, you can't look at the cool animation.
Yeah, and that's really what this show is all about. Is
ridiculous.
Because the story's always kind of a little, you know, convoluted.
Yeah. But I absolutely love that whole world and the design of the ships and all that. It's really cool. And
yeah,
I had no idea that the allegory of what it was really about when I was a kid.
Neither did I. What was it about?
It was about, like, you know, post-bombing of Japan, you know?
That's heavy shit, yo.
It's like post-war type of deep stuff that I don't understand because I'm an American and a kid, you know, who's just, like, running home from school in time to see it.
Damn!
That's some deep shit, man!
This is just freaking crazy.
That's crazy.
Freaking crazy, yo. That shit is deep.
All right.
You feel
moving
me,
on.
Doc? You feel me?
I feel you.
Whee!
Whee!
All right. Moving on. Did I announce it was these are releases for July 1st, 2014?
Awesome. Right. I don't know, but yes.
I got so excited about the Star Blazers that I just kind of skipped it.
You're a happy cowboy, aren't you?
Cannibal Holocaust on Blu-ray.
What was that again?
Cannibal Holocaust.
Yikes.
Yeah, for some, I don't ever get these released. I know there's people that want them, but who really goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe Cannibal Holocaust is now on Blu-ray. I'm going to pick that up.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Woo!
You don't know meat is murder. One of the best songs ever written about industrialized beef consumption.
Oh. No, but people consumption.
Yeah.
Yeah, this just is a, this is an awful movie that people only watch because it's awful.
I'm gonna need you to stop talking about meat in your mouth.
Ew.
Alright, Crybaby on Blu-ray.
Oh, Bill, I was gonna say, I remember when I was a kid, my aunt, well, she's not really my aunt, she's my dad's aunt, but we called her Aunt Florence.
An aunt of an aunt.
She took us to see at a dollar movie a film called Dr. Butcher. And I,
what in the hell?
It was a cannibal movie. And it might have been Cannibal Holocaust or one of those with a different title, but it was so effing gross that we walked, we gotta go. Let's get out of here. It was so disgusting.
It was zombie Holocaust.
The main thing as I remember is I had a hot dog and I didn't want to eat it because I was so gross out. And at one point I dropped it on the ground and, you know, once it's on the ground in a movie theater, it's done. And I remember as we were leaving, I saw that Florence had stepped on my hot dog and flattened it.
Nice.
Flattened my hot dog. So there was, it was a tragedy, really. That's a tragic story, guys.
Yeah, that's, that was a zombie Holocaust. The Italian.
So was one of the titles Dr. Butcher?
Yeah, it was.
Holy shit. That thing scarred me. Talk about disturbing. Oh my God.
Hot dogs is slamming.
I wonder whatever made her a good idea to go, well, let's go see this Dr. Butcher.
How old were you?
Roughly. 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie was made in 1980.
I can't imagine Emma seeing certain things, but
oh
to think
God.
That I was taken to see Cannibal Holocaust when I was like 7 years old.
Nice.
That's disturbing.
What was going on back then? Where you just took kids to see the scariest effing shit. Graphic, horrible thing. Hey, let's take him to see The Exorcist. He's 5. He can handle
it. Right.
He'll deal with it.
Yeah, it only affected me for the rest of my life. What the hell's wrong with you people?
Shopping whores.
Excuse me? Okay, Bill, what else?
So I said Crybaby on Blu-ray.
Crybaby with Johnny Depp.
Actually, sort of dig this movie. This is the... Isn't it John Waters?
Yes.
The musical?
Unwatchable John Waters movie.
Yeah, it is a John Waters film.
Yeah, plus it... God, what was the girl in it?
Tracy Lords, but it had that really cute blonde girl.
Yeah, Allison Vernon Williams. Yeah, wow. She was really, really cute.
I don't even remember her at all. Did she continue acting after that?
I don't think so. I don't think anything else was... or maybe that's the name of the person in the movie, Allison. Yeah, it is.
So he was Crybaby Walker.
Yeah, and she was Allison Vernon Williams.
What's
I don't know.
Real
I'll
name?
Have to look her up on IMDb just to see. Crybaby.
I can't believe I'm cracking up right now.
Holy shit, it was Amy Locane.
Yeah, that's her name, Amy Locane. She was on, like, the first season of Melrose Place.
Yes.
She was in The School Ties with Brendan Fraser, and then she just dropped off the map.
Yeah, it seemed she was doing a bunch of, like, TV movies in early 2000s and did a short in 2009. So, yeah, she's...
Did something happen to her?
I don't know. Maybe she had a kid and just decided to stop.
Weird. Who would do that?
I don't. Oh yeah, she has 2 kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I can respect that.
Yeah, she got married in 2008. Now she has 2 children. Yeah, so. Yeah, I always had a crush on her.
Oh, yeah, she was very nice.
Very attractive young lady.
And what I mean by that is she was an incredible actress.
Yes. She was a very good actress. In the category of Y, we have Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Democracy 3D.
Whoa, 3D?
3D.
I don't want to look at Axl Rose in 3D.
Now, Axl Rose now.
Have you seen all the weird work he's done on his face?
Yeah, I don't even know what to say for...
We always talk about it's weird when women do that. It's especially weird when a dude does it, am I right?
Very,
yes.
Like Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Like what?
Except he's looking like a woman instead of.
Yeah, he looks like a lesbian, like an elderly lesbian. He does.
Yikes.
Danger level. Repeat. Danger level.
Yeah, no kidding.
Next we have Kindergarten Cop on Blu-ray.
Oh wait, can I say it, Steven? It's yeah. not a tumor.
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Okay, I'm going to ask you guys, fan of the film or not a fan?
I am a fan. I saw it in the theater with my sister and my dad. I like it. It's stupid, but I like it.
They like kindergarten work.
Oh, and that little kid in it, Penelope Badiba, her son, is an annoying little shit. That was the worst part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to go put up these things in the woods for some stupid reason. It's going to keep the bad people away. It's like, this kid's an idiot.
What's wrong with that kid?
He was irritating. He was a terrible actor.
We got this one kid. Mongo.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, honestly, what the hell, dude?
I don't know.
All right, next we have The Legend of Korra Book 2, Spirits.
Oh, that's the Airbender thing, right?
Yes, Legend of Korra, The Last Airbender.
You know what's funny is I was asking Emma and I go, Bill said the second season wasn't as good as the first. Did you think that? She goes, what? Why did he say that? And I was like, oh sorry.
Well, no, you know what? They spent like 8 episodes spinning wheels with like the whole love triangle between Korra and the guy and this other girl. And it got to be too much. But the final like 2 episodes were like, whoa.
Yeah, I think those storylines are like right in Emma's wheelhouse, though, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
Oh, jeez, I mean, this can't get any worse.
It's yeah, the animation is awesome, and the one thing that when I watch, I haven't really kept up with it, but the one thing that makes me sad is that this show is gorgeous in HD, widescreen. I wish that the original Airbender would have been like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, you know, letterboxed. I mean, pillarboxed.
Yeah, I missed that show. That was great.
That was a fantastic series.
Okay, so, whoa, that was a really big suck in of air.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I'm not dying, I promise. That sounded like Steven.
You falling off your CPAP machine?
Yeah. I'm very tired. I'm resting my eyes. Next Blu-ray, we have the Penelope Spheres Little Rascals film.
Oh, Jesus.
Tell us how you really feel.
The other day, we had it on Little Rascals at Heather's parents. It was like Father's Day, I think. It was on like Turner Classic Movies. They like show in between movies, you know? And yeah. Froggy was on there. And Emma was like, what is wrong with that kid's voice? And I go, that's Froggy. Come on.
Poor Froggy. He's like, hey, Jerry,
I can't even talk like that. But
So it was the original Little Rascals, like the R-Gang?
It's one where Spanky was getting too old and he wasn't like cute anymore, you know?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying, Steven?
Yep. Poor Spanky.
I never saw the Penelope Spheris movie.
Yeah, it's bad.
Ridiculous.
They look like the R-Gang kids, but it's set in the 90s.
Yeah, modern day.
Or 2000s.
The He-Man Woman Haters Club and all that stuff. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, they're all dressed in their ratty clothes and everything. And,
oh, my God.
So it's not Depression era anymore?
No, it's characters out of time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It
doesn't make sense at all.
Wow.
No, it's... Yeah.
You definitely need that time period to go with... them for it to make sense.
Or you but no one can relate kids. To it.
Right.
How do you say indispensable?
Indispensable.
Yeah, it's indispensable, Bill.
Next Blu-ray, we have a Indian film that's gotten a lot of good word of mouth called The Lunchbox.
Lunchbox?
Yeah, I will never be able to pronounce any of the actors' names. But you can guarantee it will have an American remake.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
No. Lunchbox, not shine box.
Oh, really bad. The film is set in Mumbai, revolves around a mistaken delivery of a lunchbox service, which leads to a relationship about to retire. Sejan, also a lonely widower and an unhappy housewife. Isla, as they start exchanging notes through the daily lunchbox.
The box truck is basically a refrigerator. You leave it running.
No.
It's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Oh, okay.
A refrigerated lunchbox truck.
It's a
refrigerated lunchbox. You got your Capri Suns in there, and you got your, what else? You got your little bite-sized carrots.
Keeps your Lunchables cold.
Your Lunchables.
You gotta get the Lunchable with the Dijon mustard.
That's delicious. Emma always thinks she wants Lunchables, and I'm like, you don't. Because when we get it, it's gross. Like, she goes, I want those pizza Lunchables. You don't want that. So I get it, and she's like, this is gross. And I'm like, I told you that!
Yeah,
and
it's then, cold. And who wants to eat, like, cold, not pizza pizza?
Yeah, I never get her the Lunchbox. The Lunchables.
I don't know how else to put sorry. S-O-R-R-Y. That's sorry.
Oh, okay.
I love that he spells it to be even more of an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, that's why you're saying sorry in such a dick way.
Sorry. So, yeah, he's not from Canada.
Yeah.
All right. The last Blu-ray.
Ooh.
This is a documentary from Errol Morris called The Unknown Known. And it's all about Donald Rumsfeld.
Whoa.
The former United States Secretary of Defense. Discusses his career in Washington, D.C. from his days as a congressman in the early 1960s to the planning of the invasion of Iraq in 2003.
I know it's not just about me!
I want to see this. I love Errol Morris's documentaries. And two, this guy is such a douchebag that, like, he believes his own bullshit. And I just want to see that. I just want to stew while I watch it.
You think it'll go up on Netflix pretty quick? Because a lot of documentaries show up there.
Yeah, I'm positive it will. If it isn't already.
I don't know what he did.
Wow.
But yeah, I love films like this.
Sweet. Now, hey, Bill, remember that I was talking to you about any video games? Is anything coming out anytime soon?
You know what? Let me look that up real quick on IGN and sort through what we've got under the upcoming games.
Okay.
So we have.
I love glass breaking, Bill.
Oh, so do I. It's cathartic.
Game. Yeah.
It's hilarious. All right, about the only thing I see that would be big. Yeah, we really don't have much anything coming out. Not yet, though. I think the next huge release is, would it be Destiny?
Whoa.
So you have these Sniper Elite games.
No, this is all very entertaining.
Hey, Nolan.
Yeah, but that's pretty much... Oh, you know what? No, let me take that back real quick.
Oh.
We have on July 29th, we have The Last of Us Remastered.
Ooh, yeah. That's pretty exciting. Are you going to get that?
I absolutely am, because they were talking to somebody from Naughty Dog, and they're like, we have this thing running at 1080p with all high-res textures, and it never falls under 60 frames per second.
Wow.
And they're like, you haven't played the game until you've played it like this.
Oh, my God. The game is gorgeous on the PS3. I can't imagine the way it's going to look on the PS4.
Yeah, they say it's stunning.
Oh, I bet. Dude, I'm so jealous. I love that game so much. I still think about it from time to time like it's some novel I read, you know?
Yeah, you know, I got a very similar kind of emotional feel that I did. Granted, not nearly as heavy and engaging, but Wolfenstein, I always say, I can't help myself, The New Order.
Stunning.
I just finished it the other night, and I was just like, wow, that was really kind of amazing.
That's what I love. I love games with great stories. I just eat that shit up.
They did a really wonderful job in the acting and narration of Brian Bloom, of all people, for B.J. Blazkowicz, or William B.J. Blazkowicz, is fantastic. It's really well done, well imagined, very... noirish in the way it's done, but it's fantastic. I got sucked into it. And once I finished it, I realized that this is the closing of a trilogy that started ages ago.
Wow. That's true.
Yeah, there was a game that I played on the PC called Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
And
that started the story of this, this evil General Death's Head. And I just realized that at the end of this one. I was just like, wow, that goes all the way back there. And then I read that the New Order Wolfenstein that I just played was actually a sequel to the one that came out in 2009 that was just called Wolfenstein. Holy you know, so I need cool. to play that one now. So it's the closing of a trilogy. It went full circle.
The only death that I have planned is yours.
Oh.
That got really deep.
Now, before the original Wolfenstein, that was like before Doom.
Yeah. That was, in fact, the guy in Doom was like, he was a spiritual cousin to the guy from Wolfenstein.
Oh, so, sweet.
Yeah, I think his last name was even Blazkowicz.
Oh, that's cool, because it was the id Software, right?
Yeah.
I remember, like, they would shoot, like, syringes at you, right? Like some doctor would. Is there a doctor in this that shoots syringes or something? Like, as a homage to it? Or
there is a crazy doctor, but I don't remember shooting syringes.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just remember that wrong. I don't know.
No, it's okay, but it's really,
it's so crazy.
I can't recommend it enough. I was thoroughly impressed with the gameplay once I got used to it. The final puzzle was just so simple, but for some reason I didn't wrap my head around it until I died like 20 times and then started to explore what was going on around me to figure out how to take down this guy. So it's kind of ingenious in the way.
What possibly could be wrong?
It's not a linear kind of shooter. It harkens back to the old days where you had to figure shit out on your own.
You have to walk around, yeah, and go like, wait, how do I open this door? Is it like that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's moments where I just walked around in circles and didn't see something. And then once I kind of took time to really look.
Do you remember Doom was actually very puzzle driven?
Yeah.
Like you would go, where the hell do I go in this place? And you'd have to look at the map and stuff.
Yeah, I was very, very impressed with it. I loved it. I was not
really
expecting
old laptop with Wolfenstein and Doom both on it.
Cool.
Yeah,
they're fun
in fact,
games.
In Wolfenstein, there's a home base for a little while in the game. You're like part of this ragtag group, and there's a spot in the place where there's a mattress, and you go up to the mattress, and it gives you the option to lay down, but it says that if you lay down here, you're going to have a nightmare.
Oh.
And when you enter the nightmare, you enter the first Wolfenstein game.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I saw something like that.
Yeah, so you get to play through. You don't wake up until you die, and I assume that you can actually play through the entire game.
As long as you don't die.
As long as you don't die.
Were you having fun playing it?
I was disappointed when I died and woke up, and I was like, oh damn, I want to go back to sleep. I want to play that again. But the option's gone.
That's such a cool Easter egg.
It is. And there's so many Easter eggs in the game that I didn't do because I got so obsessed with the storyline. There's like little side missions you can do whenever you're back, you know, doing different things. And I think I only got to like a 49% completion on it because there's so much more there.
Yeah, I always go through that too. Like, do I need to? I always choose story over other like nitpicky collecting type of things. I always do.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I got angry that I missed some of the stuff, and I was like, well, you can always go back to it. No big deal.
Yeah.
So I'll have to revisit the game eventually. Once I finished it, I was kind of wow. It wasn't that moment with, like The Last of Us where I was like, man, I'm going to have to take a walk and a break for a really long time before I ever go back to that game. This one, it was like, oh, that was really moving. I was very impressed by that. I'm going to have to go back to that within the next week. You know, it didn't leave me depressed. It was just sort of, it was amazing that I enjoyed it that much. I was not expecting that.
That's cool, because so many times when a game comes out, the reviews just kind of shuffle it aside immediately, like, play Watch Dogs instead, or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it really had a chance to do the business it should have done because of Watch Dogs being released so close to it.
Right.
And I still, you know, I still haven't even bothered with Watch Dogs because after playing Infamous Second Son, I'm just not ready for another open world game.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that before.
Like yeah, so.
You know, it's going to be out there for a while and soon it'll be in the bargain bin, then you could try it.
Yeah, the next thing is definitely the re-release of The Last of Us, and then September we have Defiance, because I'm not seeing much of anything
Destiny.
For... Destiny. I'm sorry, yeah, Defiance. Destiny. Yeah,
you watched Star Wars a few hundred times when you were a kid.
Yeah, too many.
A few thousand times, thank you.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
All right,
but
Bill?
I'll stay on top of the gaming releases and bring those up whenever there's something good.
Excellent. Thank you very much for doing the DVDs this week, Bill.
You're welcome.
My goodness me. Well done.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And scene.
Oh.
Well, come, honey, come on, man, straighten it out. And there's nobody I'd rather straighten with than you.
This is not Mel Torme.
Yeah, so I just looked in the chat room,
uh-huh.
And Sam just informed me and reminded me, I don't know why I forgot this, but Amy Locane's in jail for vehicular homicide.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I totally forgot that in 2010 she was in an accident.
Oh my god, I think I remember this now.
Yeah, she had a blood alcohol level 3 times the legal limit.
Oh man, so she was super loaded and killed somebody.
Yeah.
Wow.
She faces 5 to 10 years in prison, so she's in prison. That's why she's not acting. She's a mother of two who's in jail.
Oh, that's so. It's now a tragedy.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was so hot. Oh, that poor
thing. I remember the Noxzema girl, Rebecca Gayhart, did something like that too.
Yes.
You remember her? Yeah. She killed somebody with her car. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That always sucks to hear about that. Someone was killed because of this idiot driving drunk.
Wow. Yeah. Well, screw her, you know.
Yeah, screw you, hot chick.
Yeah.
Or formerly hot chick, because I'm looking at her arrest photo right now, and yowza.
Well, naturally, you know, you're not going to be a beauty queen. And
well, not hard drinking. She's only 40.
She's 42, yeah.
That's or now so she's 42, up. But I mean, come on, that's still young.
It's just a sad story.
That's really sad. So, yeah, due to injuries caused by Fred Seaman. Seaman. Yikes.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Can I help you?
The actress faces 5 to 10 years in prison, plus another 3 to 5 years in prison for a conviction on a second count of assault due to injury she caused to Fred Seaman. She hit and killed a 60-year-old woman. Yeah, so she killed his wife and injured him.
Okay, well, this is really sad.
That's why when you started playing the interstitial, I was like, oh, shit. I totally forgot.
Oh, my God. Well, that's effed up. Well, on that note, guys, thank you for listening. What else can I do? I don't know. Thank you guys for listening to episode 294 of Entertainment Landfill. Just think. We're so close to episode 300. I can't do the math, Steven. How many episodes do we have left? So that would be...
What are we on?
294... 6. Very good, Bill. I think you're right. I'll have to check later.
4 plus 6 is 10.
That's right. Sorry, I had to burp. I don't know what my deal is lately. I'm really gassy during the show. But guys, that was too much information.
No, this is all very entertaining.
Oh, thank you. So if you guys have listened to the show, heard our great Amy Locaine story, and decided to become a patron of the show, I'm kidding, of course. No, I want to thank all of our patrons, Bill, as we do each week. And we have a couple of new patrons. I actually have to find or get to our patron page because I don't have it open. When I rebooted the computer, you know, everything is blanked out, of course. But we have our new patrons, Rick L. from Australia.
I know that dude.
Marvin S. Whee!
I know that dude, too.
Michael. We still have Hodor. Kevin. Ken P. John W. Kelly M. Jenny, Tom B. We still have that Bill L guy, so that's good.
That guy's
good.
An asshole. I talked to him.
Oh, I'm glad he hasn't decided to cancel and followed a different podcast, Bill. That's good. Ceruli M, Adam S. I wonder who that is. Adam Sexton. We can say his name, right? Unless he revoked permission.
Revokes your permission.
I want to say a special thanks to Adam because he listens to our show live and not many people get to, and he knows what an exciting affair it is, right?
Super exciting.
We also have Sam in there who's also a patron of the show.
Yes.
I also want to thank Carl, Brandon, Kelly, Mark A. He knows who he is. Well, naturally he would, but we know who he is. Ross P. I don't know what I'm talking about. Ross P. Jean-Francois.
Oh, very nice.
Mike M. Paul W. B. Sly. Nathena L. Jason P. Sean U. Rob B. Sam A. Terry F. Michael K. I know it sounds silly, doesn't it? Stephen W., who we all know as Swiley. And Andy S., who is Andy Sims. I want to thank you guys all for being a patron. You too can be a patron. Just go to patreon.com/landfill. We had one patron sign up last week. Come on, let's add a few more, guys. We're trying to hit a milestone. I know that, you know, as little as a dollar, Stephen. What could you buy for a dollar? I mean,
not a whole lot anymore.
Soda anymore.
Pack of certs.
No, sir. I can't buy
with Retson.
No,
I think those are $1.50.
Tic Tacs, maybe. But you could become a patron of our show for $1, $2, $3.
Pack of Wrigley's gum.
You know the amount for a combo meal at McDonald's, Bill.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start calling it that from now on.
Yeah, I'm never gonna call it McDonald's again. It's always gonna be McDonald's.
The finishing here.
Yeah, you know, and then we're gonna have milkshakes.
They don't drink milkshakes, I assure you.
No, we would if we bought one. I'm there to eat the fries, Bill.
Yeah, the fries, unless they're there for very long time.
You know, we swore off McDonald's, we're not eating McDonald's anymore. But when we traveled to Tyler, we were like, hey.
Let's stop at the McDonald's.
Let's get, 20-piece nuggets and a large fry, and Heather and Emma and I will all share it in the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they told us, could you pull up forward because your fries, we're still working them out. I was like, oh, good, we're going to get fresh fries. This is awesome. So we pull ahead. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, dude, it's almost been 20 minutes.
No.
Yeah, finally this guy comes out. He doesn't have any food, and he goes, what did you guys order again? And I go,
oh my God.
And I go, we ordered 20 pieces of nuggets, 2 large fries. You already gave us our drinks. I don't even think they did.
Actually, they're empty now.
And he was like, oh, okay. And he gets up and leaves.
Milkshakes.
Dude, after we told him that, 10 more minutes passed. Nothing. Heather got up. She went in there. And I was like, oh, I could picture Heather. She's like, who's the effing charge in here? You know, she's got a shotgun or whatever. So she comes out and she's got our food. Plus, she's got chocolate chip cookies and apple pies because she wanted extras. And we headed off to Tyler, and I was like, just think, my idea was to stop and get food, get right on the road. Instead, 30 minutes of just sitting here while McDonald's sucks.
That's incredible.
The finishing here.
And I remember Emma likes to defend people when we get mad. You know, I'm like, the service here sucks. And Emma's like, well, maybe they're really busy. And I'm like, I know that they're busy, but they're horrible at their job. Yeah, I try to explain to her that, you know, there's this thing called customer service and theirs is horrible.
Full stack.
You know what I'm saying? So go to etlandfill.com and find all of your entertainment landfill needs there will be met. That was a bad sentence. But anyway, you can follow
we
us.
We speak them good.
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm the Jaystrom on Twitter, Mulberry Bill on Twitter, PCZ Steven on Twitter.
Sometimes.
If you want to. Also,
last week, did you see?
E.T.
No,
landfill.
I didn't.
Wow.
I
really?
Never go on Twitter anymore.
Oh, come on, Bill. There's all sorts of great tweets on there. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I see cool stuff on there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So,
there's gun battles on Twitter also.
You can see cool Big Brother updates on there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start doing that again.
Also, you guys could find all of our old shows, but I'm really proud of our NIMH movie minis. Bill, I was just pointing out to you that I realized we have like six 80s movies on there. So if you click on movie minis on our website, you can find all of them on there. We're doing the 80s, yo! It's awesome!
We weren't made in the 80s, but we,
grew up. The most impressionable years were in the 80s.
I was gonna say, man.
Let's see. Bill, we've done, most recently, we did Lethal Weapon. We got Back to the Future. We got, Gremlins, Goonies, Robocop, Die Hard. And then, I haven't released it yet, but I am, it's the 70s, Jaws. And Bill, we're planning on doing more, and I'm real excited. I was talking to you about the one I think we should do next.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right.
It just seems right, and it's something that we've seen a gazillion times also, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun. And there's the couple I'm thinking about that maybe we should do also.
Can't wait. And somebody needs to become a patron for that $30 a month and give us a NIMH movie mini to do for them. I can't wait.
That would be fun to do a customized mini.
Like you want a raw deal movie mini? Arnold
Holy
Schwarzenegger?
Shit.
No, please, not that.
I want a K-9.
K-9, Turner and Hooch, Top Dog, maybe all three movies.
No, I like the Jim Belushi K-9. That's the best.
Yeah, it's going to be wicked cool. And also, guys, I'm really excited. I don't know when it's returning, but I just read Project Greenlight, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. It's returning! Uh-huh. Aren't you excited, Bill?
I am. I always enjoyed it.
Do you remember, like, it started out on HBO, didn't it, the first season?
It did, and then it went to Bravo.
It went to Bravo and became shittier.
That was the Shia LaBeouf year.
The first there was Shia LaBeouf, and then there was the Gulager. Or was there actually three seasons?
They did the movie,
Stolen Summer.
Stolen Summer.
Then it was the Shia LaBeouf season, the second one. And then it was
Gulager.
And I remember they used to submit scripts, and that was the first season. Submit a screenplay, right?
And somebody directs it.
Uh-huh. And then the second season was writers and directors. I can't remember. Who cares? But anyway, the show's coming back.
It'll be fun. I that's always cool to see how that shit works.
It's either a train wreck or it's fun.
Can I help you?
I don't know.
How do you like how this shit works?
The Stolen Summer one.
Yeah, I've never seen Stolen Summer. Have you?
No.
I saw the Shia LaBeouf one.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No.
Battle of Shaker Heights.
Not good.
I didn't like how that John shit Gilligan works.
The problem with the Shia LaBeouf one, it was like a movie, supposed to be a theatrical film. It's like an hour long. You could tell they edited the shit out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
The making of was better than the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember how excited they were to get William Sadler, and then they hardly used him.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but Feast was unwatchable, wasn't it?
Feast is awful.
It's god-awful.
Jokey, tough guy shtick.
And they've done three of those.
Yeah, just bad. Bad, 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 bad. But anyway, guys, that's our show. Thank you for listening, and keep an eye out for our Star Wars show, the Jaws movie mini. It's a summer of content, guys. We're cranking that shit out, aren't
we?
And also, I'm going to introduce a new concept to Bill and Steven, and then maybe we'll unveil it to you guys. But it's an interesting idea that I think we're going to do when, Bill, you visit.
Awesome!
It's going to be pretty cool. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Later, guys. Woo! Become a patron. Don't forget. Go
to McDonald's instead of finishing here.
How do you say indispensable?
Indispensable.
Now this is podcasting.
Oh, jeez. I mean, this can't get any worse.
It's so bad.
No, this is all very entertaining.
I don't know how else to put sorry. S-O-R-R-Y. That's sorry.
Bullshtack.
Please, may I thank you? That's how I was brought up.
Yeah, how, really? What next? What possibly could be wrong?
Just another man. It's yours.